two of a six-game series between your Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Brooklyn Cyclones. Well, Ray, a big series-opening win for the Ironbirds last night. Great way to kick off this nine-game homestand. A 9-2 win for the Birds. They are now 3-1 in the second half. This team is rolling, man, and it's great to have you back with me on the air show. It's always better when we got this duo going, for sure.
It's great to be back here at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium, and yes, they began the nine-game series by scoring 9 runs. It could very much be an omen for what's to come later on, and this series will go all the way into July 3rd and end with a red, white, and boom.
Yeah, so let's talk about what happened last night, Ray, in the 9-2 win against Brooklyn. Well, it started on the pitching side with Michael Ferrett, who made his fourth appearance for the Ironbirds, his first start at the high A level, and he was fantastic. He faced just the minimum 15 batters in his 5 shutout innings. He only allowed 2 base runners, Ray, 1 hit, 1 walk, that was it, and he retired the last 11 batters that he faced. That's a season high for an Ironbirds pitcher. Hey, anytime your starter's doing that, it's going to lead to some wins.
Lead to so many wins. I can't think of a scenario where he would actually get the loss there. You face the minimum and you retire your last 11, you're going to win just about every game that you start. And yeah, that was quite a show he put on last night.
Yeah, so the Birds picked up the dub. Ferret picked up the dub in the starting role. And how about what Reed Triple did last night? Oh, I'm sorry, Reed Trimble. Or do I actually mean triple? 2 triples last night for Reed Trimble. He went 3 for 4. He became the third Ironbirds player to drive in 4 runs in a game this season. That's pretty impressive stuff, Ray. And how about this? Since coming off the IL last Tuesday, he has 8 extra base hits. That's pretty hard to do in 1 week of games.
That seems to be something that we've been repeating here on the air show. Since coming off the injured list, this Ironbird did this. And it's just amazing how we have a great rehab program here down in Aberdeen, and the guys just continue to deliver coming off the injured list. Reed Trimble put up some great numbers last night. Double the triple, double the fun, and he delivered in a big way last night.
So Reed did his thing at the plate. So did Douglas Hodo. He reached base safely 4 times. He ripped a double, walked twice, was hit by a pitch, and he also scored 5 runs, the first Ironbird to score 5 runs in a game this season. He's second in the South Atlantic League of the month of June with 18 runs in 17 games. So a lot of guys getting it done all over the stat sheet. And Ray, before we wrap up the air show, let's talk about what this Ironbirds team is doing as a unit. In the month of June, they're 13-8, which is tied for the best record in the entire South Atlantic League. 120 runs, which averages out to just under 6 per game. That's third best in the league. And they're 783 team OPS, second in the South Atlantic League.
We saw the production that they were putting up towards the end of May. We saw the runs differential that they were putting up in May. And we're like, huh, they're going to roll into June. If they continue this up, they're going to win a lot of games. 13-8 so far in the month of June. You can't ask for more from this ball club.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing it all right now, looking for their 14th win just in the month of June tonight. We'll see what happens. First pitch is coming up at 7:05. Ironbirds fans, he's Ray Atkinson. I'm Michael Mark Cantonini. Let's have some fun. And as always, Ironbirds fans,
let's fly. To the pitcher's mound for tonight's ceremonial first pitch. Please welcome Mariano Presas, president of Dunlop Protective Footwear.
It's another beautiful night for baseball here in Aberdeen, Maryland, as we get set to play Game 2 of a six-game series between your Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Brooklyn Cyclones. Hi, everyone. My name is Michael Mark Cantonini, the voice of the Ironbirds, live from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Should be a good one tonight here in the Dean. A beautiful night for a game. It's hot, a little bit more humid than you'd like, but light blue sky off in the distance, a little bit of cloud cover, and we should have a good one here in Aberdeen. A little bit worried about some rain earlier in the day, but clear skies, we are good to go. The Birds come into tonight's game after taking the series opener last night 9-2. The Birds are 37-33 overall, 3-1 in the second half, tied for first in the South Atlantic League North Division. On the flip side, the Cyclones sit at 34-36 overall. They are 1-3 in the second half of play. Two North Division rivals going at it again, game 2 of 6. Get you the starting lineups and the starting pitching matchup in just a little bit. But before we go any further, I've got to introduce another guest in the booth tonight, keeping the Guest in the Booth series rolling. And I've got one of Harford County's own joining me, Gabby DePaula, a social media producer from CBS Sports. And like I said, a Harford County native joining me on the broadcast. Gabby, thanks so much for being here, and great to have you back in the area.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Like I said earlier, it's kind of been a while since I've been here. I used to come here all the time as a kid, and it's been about maybe 12 years, 15 years since I've been here. So it's good to be back, and hopefully we get a good game.
So we're breaking the streak. You're back at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium, and I know we were talking off air before the broadcast. You said that you were here a lot growing up, whether it was just taking in a game as a fan or, you know, you were here, you know, with your cheerleading teams growing up. You know, a lot of different ways that got you in the ballpark.
Yeah, so some of my teammates and I in middle or more high school, we used to have to come up here to work to pay for competition fees and everything. My mom worked it too. All the parents were here. We pretty much filled the stadium, I would say. I mean, it was always packed here when I was growing up, coming here to games and everything. So it's been a while. It's good to be back, and it's good to be back working on this side.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what's the coolest thing about this Guest in the Booth series. I've been able to bring back a few Harford County natives to the broadcast booth. The same similar situation to you, where they grew up going to games here, and now that, you know, getting a chance to put the headset on in the broadcast booth, seeing it from a different angle, that full circle type of thing. So I mentioned in the open that you are a social media producer for CBS Sports. So tell the people at home a little bit about your role with CBS Sports.
Yeah, so it's pretty much just creating, editing, anything that's going on with sports. That includes NBA, NHL, MLB, obviously NFL, and college football. It's all of those sports combined. So really prioritizing what's important in news and sports and making sure it sells and people are clicking and people are liking and watching. You know, social media has grown so much in the past, especially in the past 5 years. So it's doing things like that, and it's fun. I get to have a lot of freedom with it. So, and I get to be in sports, and whether it's on air or not, like, it's fun to still be somewhat in the sports field.
Yeah, so what does an average day or week look like for you in your role? What, you know, do the hours change, or do you kind of have a set schedule?
So it depends. NFL, during that season, I'm working a lot of Sundays producing. You know, CBS had the Super Bowl this year, so it was a lot of prepping for what social media will look like for that. You know, during the off season, which is technically the off season right now for us because we don't really do a ton of MLB, it's still creating whatever we can to sell. Right now it's regular 8 to 4 hours or 9 to 5 or something like that, creating, editing, capturing, whatever it is, to try to get attention from the audience. So
yeah,
a lot of analytics.
And I know you do some other stuff on the side as well, and you've done a little bit of everything in your sports media career, like so many others in the industry. I mean, same thing for me. I'm a play-by-play guy, but I do so many other things. So I know you do some freelance play-by-play, sideline reporting, different things. So tell the people a little bit about all that as well.
Yeah, actually, I guess my most recent thing, I was a sideline reporter for some high school championships up in Pennsylvania, which you're very familiar with. Loved that. It was a lot of fun, a lot of passion in high school baseball up there towards like the Bethlehem area. Loved it. Broadcast was great. The interviews were great. The kids were all great. It was a lot of fun. Did some ESPN Plus, you know, calling games, whether it was color or play-by-play for a ton of a range of sports, baseball, softball, men's lacrosse, women's lacrosse. I kind of did it all. It's, you got to be a yes man in this industry, so that's kind of what I did. And then I worked at WBAL and just recently left there back in April to pursue some other opportunities. So now I'm here.
Yeah, you know, you've been around. I think it's so cool that you've been able to work in so many different areas in the Baltimore area and in a big media market like Baltimore, you know, staying close to home and, you know, the teams you grew up watching and rooting for, you know, you're covering them, which is pretty cool. I think that's kind of everybody's dream, you know, that gets into sports media.
Yeah, and they all tell you to leave the state and then come back, which you did. And I told you before the broadcast, it's something I do kind of regret. And I guess I still could do. But, you know, I'm really lucky to be able to cover the teams that I did grow up with, the Ravens, the Orioles. I went to Maryland, so I was able to cover the Terps a couple years ago. And, you know, just being around the area, it's a lot of fun because you get to know the players, you get to know the teams that you already know. So it's pretty familiar, it's easy, it's fun, and easy to cheer on, too.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, Ironbirds fans, Gabby just said that, you know, she went to Maryland, a Terp alum. Well, I'm a Penn State alum, so we got a little Big
Boo.
Ten rivalry. We got a little Big Ten rivalry
Boo.
Tonight. It's up to me who comes in this broadcast booth, and I let a
fumble
Maryland
the bag
Terp
a little bit,
in.
Right? Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. Well, we've got a Terp in the lineup for each team tonight. We'll get to those starting lineups in a little bit. Definitely outnumbered. There's one Penn State alum on the Ironbirds roster, Kyle Verbitsky, but the Terps outnumbering the Nittany Lions tonight. But we are just about ready for the national anthem here in Aberdeen, Ironbirds fans. The birds are ready to take flight. They are taking the field, and we are only a few minutes away from baseball. We'll get you the starting lineups and the pitching matchup on the flip side of the anthem, but we'll take a pause, let you listen to the anthem on the crowd mic. But when we come back, we'll have some baseball here. Ironbirds and Cyclones in Game 2 of a 6-game series. Michael Marcantonini and Gabby DiPaolo with you on the broadcast. Tonight should be a really fun one here in the Dean. Keep it locked right here for the national anthem on MILB TV and Bally Live. Just about ready for baseball here in Aberdeen, Maryland. Ironbirds and Cyclones going at it for the second time in this 6-game series. A 9-2 win for the Birds last night. And they'll look to keep it rolling. 3 in a row for the Birds. They're 3-1 in the second half and tied for first place in the South Atlantic League North Division. The Birds are out on the field behind right-hander Jackson Baumeister, who gets the ball for the Birds tonight. Baumeister has been excellent this season, really consistent. We'll get into the numbers in a little bit. He's starting his warm-up tosses. He'll go up against right-hander Jonah Tong for the Cyclones, two top 30 prospects in their respective organizations going at it tonight. And now the starting lineups will start with the Ironbirds. Leading off in left field, it's Luis Valdez. Batting second, the designated hitter, Taron Vavra. Reed Trimble is in right field. He bats third. Douglas Hodo, the third, is the center fielder. He's in the four spot. Carter Young is at shortstop. He bats fifth. Angel Tejada is the third baseman, batting sixth. Maxwell Costas is in the seven hole at first base. Randy Florentino is the catcher, batting eighth. And rounding out the lineup, batting ninth, it's the second baseman, Christian Benavides. So one more time, 1-9 for the Birds. It's Valdez, Vavra, Trimble, Hodo, Young, Tejada, Costas, Florentino, Benavides. Then on the flip side for the Cyclones, it's Nick Morabito in the leadoff spot in left field. Jesus Baez is the shortstop. He bats second. Nick LaRusso, the designated hitter, is in the three hole. Junior Tillian bats fourth at second base. Jeffrey De Los Santos is the third baseman in the five spot. Mateo Gill is the first baseman, batting sixth. Kellum Clark is in right field, batting seventh. Christian Pregent is the catcher. He bats eighth. And rounding out the lineup, batting ninth, it's the center fielder, Omar De Los Santos. So one more time, 1-9 for the Cyclones. It's Morabito, Baez, LaRusso, Tillian, De Los Santos, Gill, Clark, Pregent, and De Los Santos. Looks like Jackson Baumeister is ready to go. And that means we are ready to go here in Aberdeen. The Birds rocking their light blue alternate tops with the white pants. On the flip side, the Cyclones wearing their road gray tops and bottoms. Navy blue on the shoulders of the Cyclones jerseys. And we are ready to go. Game two of a six-game set. Birds looking to make it four wins in a row. They're playing some good ball here in the second half. And they've got a guy who is highly regarded in the Orioles organization out on the mound in Jackson Ballmeister. First pitch of the night is just off the plate for a ball. And the count is 1-0. Morabito, Baez, LaRusso, the top three. Michael Marcantonini and Gabby DiPaolo with you in the broadcast booth tonight as Ballmeister gets set to fire his 1-0 pitch. That one misses just a little bit low. Ballmeister, 6 feet 4 inches tall. He's just 21 years old in his first pro season. He has four pitches to work with, a four-seam fastball, a curveball, a sweeper, and a changeup. He is the Orioles' number 18 overall prospect, their number 6 overall pitching prospect.
Something they could kind of use right now, obviously, right?
Yeah,
the Orioles and majors.
Talk about all the position player talent in the organization and, you know, some injuries. You know, the way they've drafted the last couple of years, they're really starting to beef up that pitching, you know, at all levels. Next pitch from Ballmeister's in for a strike. And you've had a chance to cover the Orioles, you know, throughout your career in different roles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, growing up an Orioles fan, being in this area, I mean, how cool is it to see what they're doing at the big league level now after so many years of just the losses piling up?
I love how quick it's kind of been, and not so much as it's the farm system. As soon as Mike Elias came, they became like the number five, four, you know, top five farm system, which was really exciting. But obviously, I covered them through the really, really low lows, and that wasn't really fun to see. Saw Manny Machado get traded, you know, just going into that locker room wasn't easy because, I mean, they knew where they stood and anyone could be traded at any time because they were trying to, like you said, beef up their team and beef up their minors as much as they could. And now all those guys that we saw they drafted are all pretty much here right now, you know, back up in the majors. So really exciting to see. And
ground ball to the right side. That's through for a base hit. So Morabito leads off the game with a single for the second straight night. And he is over there for Jesus Baez, the shortstop. Well, that's a great point of how quick the turnaround was, because just because you tear it down and try to build it back up doesn't mean it works. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many big league organizations have tried it, and they've either stayed in the same place or things have gotten worse. But for the Orioles, I mean, very quick turnaround considering how hard it is to win in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and their farm system was, I mean, bottom 30, 31, 32, and then, you know, the following year it was top five, or I think it was number two or three or something like that. So that was really promising to see that, you know, our hiring was working. Everything that they were doing was working. It was exciting for the fans. And as you see, like, stadiums, they're not quite selling out, but there's a lot. I mean, seats are filled.
Yeah.
Tonight it looks packed.
So Jesus Baez, the shortstop, is in the batter's box with Morabito at first. No score, top of the first inning here in Aberdeen as Ballmeister looks to work around that leadoff base hit. Next pitch is in for a strike. Baez made his high A debut last night. He doubled and scored in the seventh. He went 1-for-4. He's just 19 years old. Birds have a lot of young players on their roster. Cyclones a lot on theirs.
I feel like they get younger and younger, right?
Yeah. Next pitch. Ground ball to third. Nice play there by Tejada. Goes to second for one. Over to first in time. A 5-4-3 double play. The Birds go around the horn, and just like that, two gone and no one on. But Gabby, to that point, you know, was thinking the exact same thing. I mean, you know, Baez is in the batter's box, born in 2005.
Young,
I mean, how crazy is that?
After the 2000s, it's hilarious. That's crazy. Now, you know, if I went to the locker room now, I'm probably one of the older ones.
Right.
And I used to be the same age as these guys, and, yeah, you know, not anymore, I'm sure.
No, my first year in professional baseball, 2018, so there's a broken bat flare into shallow center. Carter Young has it one step onto the outfield turf. He makes the grab, and the inning is over. Well, we'll pick that conversation up when we come back, but Jackson Ballmeister faces the minimum three batters in the first thanks to a ground ball double play. No runs on a hit, no errors, none left, no score after a half inning of play here in Aberdeen. We'll head to the bottom of the first and see if the Ironbirds can jump on the board first. Keep it locked on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Bottom of the first inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. No score after a half inning of play. Jackson Ballmeister faced the minimum three in the first. And here we are in the bottom of the first. Luis Valdez, Taron Vavra, and Reed Trimble, the top three in the Birds' order, to face right-hander Jonah Tong, who is a fast-rising prospect in the Mets organization. Their number 20 overall prospect, according to MLBPipeline.com. He's ready to rock. His first pitch is in for a strike, and it's 0-1 on Luis Valdez, who made his Iron Birds season debut last night. Picked up a knock in the game.
You know, I do love, as he steps up, I told you this before the game as well, like, I'm left-handed. Seeing a ton of left-handers in the system and in the majors of the Orioles.
Yeah, and I think, you know, talking about roster building in the top of the first, I think that's a big emphasis for this organization. You know, left-handed bats, that plays in Camden Yards, especially with right-handed hitters now having a tougher time getting the ball out of the ballpark with that deep left field. Definitely an emphasis on stacking the system with left-handed bats.
Seeing a ton of them in the Orioles lineup, and obviously this is the first leadoff hitter for the Iron Birds.
So Valdez, one of three lefties and five guys who at least bat left-handed some of the time. Two switch hitters in the Birds lineup tonight as well. Next pitch to Valdez, he flips it foul out of play, and the count stays at 0-2. Four pitches for Tong to work with, a four-seam fastball, a curveball, a slider, and a changeup. He's 6 feet 1 inch tall, 21 years old, second pro season. He was a seventh-round pick of the Mets back in 2022. High school draft pick. Next pitch, breaking ball misses low in. 1-2 on Luis. He was committed to North Dakota State, but was drafted out of high school and signed. Originally from Canada, and his final year as a high schooler, he was down in Georgia at a prep school. Made some serious strides. Velo went up, and that got him drafted in the seventh round. Here's his 1-2, breaking ball, called strike three, top of the zone, slow curve, and that is in for out number one. So Valdez called out on strikes. We'll get you the defense for Brooklyn. Christian Pregent is the catcher. In the infield, it's Jeffrey De Los Santos at third, Jesus Baez at short. Junior Tillian is over at second with Mateo Gill at first. In the outfield, Nick Morabito in left, Omar De Los Santos in center, and Kellum Clark in right. So here's Taron Vavra.
Taron, we're very used to seeing him, right, as he's back in rehab. But Valdez kind of looked at the ump and asked him, like, wasn't that too high? And obviously said no, but I thought it was kind of high.
I saw that look back. You know, I'm kind of with Luis there.
Yeah.
1-0 pitch to Taron. That's in for a strike. So Vavra back for his second rehab assignment in Aberdeen this season. A guy who comes from a great baseball pedigree. His dad was a major league coach from 06 to 2020. He flips one into left, and that is out number two as Morabito makes the catch. And Vavra, we'll talk about him more later, but both his brothers played professional baseball. He, of course, has been in the big leagues parts of two seasons with the O's, but he is down for out number two, and that brings up Reed Trimble, the switch-hitting right fielder, who's hitting the cover off the baseball since he came off the IL last Tuesday. In seven games since his return from the injured list, six extra base hits and eight RBIs. Two triples and four ribbies last night. Doing it all right now. First pitch to Reed from Tong is in for a strike, and the count is 0-1. Umpires in tonight's game, it's Trey Ward calling balls and strikes, and Dylan Hulsey on the bases.
Again, another lefty. Love to see it.
A 1 pitch coming from Tong. Swing and a miss. Good changeup down in the zone. And Reed has shown that he can mashed the baseball from both the left and the right side. Very consistent as a switch hitter. But, of course, we were talking about, you know, the emphasis on left-handed bats in the Orioles organization. I mean, look at, Gabby, you mentioned the big league level. You got Gunner and Colton. And, you know, Adley's a switch hitter. You know,
Cedric was for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, not just lefty bats, but big lefty bats, like cornerstone pieces. Well, Trimble swings and misses at that fastball up in the zone. Jonah Tong with two strikeouts in a 1-2-3 bottom of the first, so no score after one here in the Dean. We'll head to the top of the second and see if Jackson Ballmeister can throw up another zero on his end. Keep it locked on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Top of the second inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. No score after an inning of play. Both starters looking great so far. A 1-2-3 bottom of the first for Jonah Tong. Not a 1-2-3 top of the first for Baumeister, but he faced the minimum three. So he gets 4-5-6, Junior Tillian, Jeffrey De Los Santos, and Mateo Gill. First pitch from Baumeister is a curveball that misses a little bit low and outside. Count is 1-0. Numbers for Baumeister this year. This is his 14th start. He enters tonight's game with a 2.61 ERA through 51 and two-thirds innings of work. 59 strikeouts, 32 walks. High leg kick, the 1-0. High fly ball, deep left center field. Valdez and Hodo are back. Hodo looks up. It's off the top of the wall. He picks it up quickly, gets it in, but not before Tillian gets the second with a leadoff double.
Yeah, they kind of looked like they were a little bit of miscommunication out there, and they also made it look like that was going to go over the fence, not hit the wall.
Yeah, it's tough out there. Left center and right center really deep in this ballpark. You look at that 404 sign in left and right center, one of the deeper power alleys in Major League or Minor League Baseball. Wind blowing just a little bit, that flag in center field. Can tell there's a little bit of a breeze blowing out maybe in that left center direction. So runner at second with no outs. Here's Jeffrey De Los Santos. Swing and a miss. The count's 0-1. Well, that ball stayed in the yard. It was a deep drive, but Jackson Baumeister is one of seven minor league pitchers this season with at least 50 innings under his belt who has not allowed a home run. So he has done an excellent job keeping the ball in the ballpark, and that's led to some serious success for him. The 2.61 ERA. A one that pitches down. Opponents hitting 189 against him coming into tonight's game with a 583 OPS and is striking out over 10 batters per nine. So this is a guy who's putting up stellar numbers across the board. Trying to work around the leadoff base runner at second. 1-1 outside. Talking to Gabby DePaula from CBS Sports. She's done a lot in the sports media industry throughout her career, working for different organizations and affiliates. You know, Gabby, you're talking about your time at WBAL. You're with 105.7 The Fan for a little bit, doing some freelance play-by-play, sideline reporting, color, basically all of it.
Yeah, anything, right? And I never really wanted to do it. 2020, I was put on furlough. Someone mentioned, because I was kind of had my hands in the air, I was like, what do I do? And they were combining fall sports and spring sports, as you probably knew, and so a couple schools needed some help, and just went and tried it, did it, loved it. So nothing I really was trying to pursue, and, you know, as you know, it's hard. It's a lot of prep, and you do love it once you start doing it. After the first game, I loved it. So here I am doing it 4 years later.
Yeah, a lot of prep work. I mean, the prep work is, you know, at times it's fun. You know, it's definitely not, you know, it's not everybody's thing, but, you know, when you know, you're doing the research before games, regardless of whether you're calling play-by-play, color, sideline, whatever. You know, it's stuff that you need in front of you, and you got to do it. And, you know, it's not always the worst thing when, for work, you're just looking up sports stats.
Right. And it gets exciting to see some things that, like, pop out at you, right?
Yeah.
Like, Baumeister, he has quite the RA, and he's been really good this season for them. Just seeing whatever, like, pops out, it's really interesting. And now we have a steal at third.
Well, Mateo Gill just showed bunt, and I think he got a piece of that. So they're sending De Los Santos, or they're sending Tillian back to second. Well, Tillian broke, and so I guess Gill got a piece of that one on the bunt attempt. The count is 0-2 with runners at first and second after the walk to De Los Santos. Baumeister, that's been one of the issues for him this year, the high walk totals. But in his last few starts, he's really gotten the walks down. 0-2, swing and a miss. Good fastball up in the zone. Gill got tied up inside, and he is down for out number one here in the second. A big out for Baumeister, and he picks up his 60th strikeout of the season. I'll bring up Kellum Clark, the right fielder. Do you have a favorite career experience so far, whether it was a specific game you called or covered, or even just a role that you had where you just got to do some really awesome stuff?
You know, I think it was recently doing those high school sideline games up in Pennsylvania. There's a ton of passion. I could really tell my own story and find my own stories and everything. The ball was in my court completely when it came to finding, investigating, whatever it was. So I really, really loved doing that. I had to study four teams, you know, because we had a doubleheader for each day. So it was a lot of fun with that, and it was doing something I wanted to do. So that was a lot of fun. You know, high school baseball is huge up there.
Yeah, I mean, Pennsylvania, people love it.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, the stadium was full. They play at DeSales up there in Pennsylvania to College Bethlehem up there. So it's, or near Bethlehem, I should say. So it's a lot of fun. Loved it. You enjoy when there's a lot of passion with players, you know.
It just makes the whole environment better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's
more to play for, you know.
And I liked, you know, part of that answer you gave, talking about how, like, you had creative control over the stories that you were hunting for, the information you were trying to get, and the stories you were looking to tell as that pitch misses inside the lapel, no swing on Clark, and the count goes to 3-1 with runners at first and second and one out. What are your favorite types of stories to tell?
I think it's when the kids kind of get silly and they try to tell you something that they think is, like, really, really cool. So one thing they tried telling me was along the lines of they all grew out their mullets, which is not uncommon, like, doing something during, you know, playoff week.
Yeah.
And they were trying to get their coach to do it, who's pretty close to being bald. So, I mean, just, like, random things like that I love that they all have some banter around there. And that was a lot of fun to kind of tell. Those little things are a lot of just things that you don't really think of. It's like, oh, what are they doing to prep for the week? Well, honestly, one of their teammates is cutting their hair. So,
3-2 pitch from Baumeister. It looked like a curveball that just missed on the inside corner. Baumeister looks like he's getting squeezed a little bit by the home plate umpire Trey Ward. I mean, that pitch, that's a tough pitch to lay off as well. So credit to Clark for laying off of it. But one down here in the top of the second, runners. The bases are loaded now. Tillian moves to third, De Los Santos to second, and Clark is at first. And that brings up Christian Pregent, the catcher. And that brings out Ironbirds pitching coach Jordy Henry, along with catcher Randy Florentino, to talk things over with Baumeister. Well, Baumeister is coming off a couple really solid outings. You know, looking at his numbers overall this year, I mean, the word that comes to mind is consistent, because that's what he's been. He's only allowed 3 runs or more in a start twice this year, and he's made 13 starts entering tonight. So, I mean, anytime this guy takes the ball, you know you're going to get a solid outing, you know, limiting hard contact, limiting hits. In his last outing, gave up just 2 runs and 4 1/3 on June 20th at Wilmington. But right now, Cyclones got him in a little bit of a jam. Bases loaded, 1 out, top of the second, no score in Game 2 of this 6-game series. Pregent, the 8-hole hitter, steps in, and he takes a fastball up in the zone. Well, Gabby, I think it's so cool that, you know, with that question, you know, something as simple as, you know, what are some of the favorite, you know, stories you've done or favorite experiences in your career? And, you know, like you said, it's sometimes not the obvious. You know, it's not the biggest event or the most hyped up event. It's something as simple as covering a high school sports championship and getting fun stories out of the kids.
It's just the environment around, you know, the excitement. They're all really excited. They all have something to play for. Mm-hmm. Not all of them are going to college. I think maybe a total. So I covered 4 teams. I think maybe 7 players were going to college somewhere to play. But it was really exciting. Even like one of the coaches was like, this catcher, he's probably going to get drafted next year, you know, as a freshman in college or something. Like, they, you know, that was really cool to see, as both teams were telling me, like, look at this catcher. He is insane. And it was really cool, because I was like, this guy looks like he should already be in the majors. So things like that, like, that's really fun. But, yeah, it's finding the stories that make them laugh, where you can kind of pull out little details like that. But, you know, we also like, you know, being in the analyst booth. It's fun to talk stats. I love talking stats. I love talking analytics. It's so fun. Just hearing, like, you know, talking about Baumeister and all the players right now. Like, this is a good opportunity to see if he can hold off. You know, bases are loaded right now. So it's a good test for him. Not anymore, but.
And we have a run. So bases loaded, walk to Christian Pregent. So that forces Tillian home. Moves De Los Santos up to third. Clark goes to second, and Pregent down to first. So Pregent picks up an RBI. It brings home the game's first run. And that is the third walk of the inning for Jackson Baumeister, who's up over 30 pitches right now. There is bullpen action for the Ironbirds. Right-hander Yaki Rivera is loosening up. He's been great lately, and really all season. So is Baumeister, but a tough test for him right now, like you said, Gabby. I mean, bases loaded, 1 out. He's walked 3 in the inning.
It's good to see how he's going to handle it.
Right.
Right? It's a good test. It's single A. It's, you know, this is where you kind of get it all out. So when that time comes, when you do go to the majors, and, you know, if you do, like, you're able to handle it in a certain way.
Second round pick out of Florida State last summer. In his first pro season, he did not pitch last year after he was drafted, but got some work in down in Florida at the complex in Sarasota. He's been great this year. But a young arm, only 21 years old, and like you said, Gabby, I mean, you can't just pull a guy the minute he gets into trouble. You know, part of the development is watching these guys and seeing them work out of the jams.
And that's really cool to see in single A. It's like little things like that in the minor leagues where you're like, how does this guy, this pitcher, how is he going to handle it? And I am so, that stuff is very interesting to me. And as they move up, you know, you see them develop.
2-1 pitch coming up. Here it is as Omar De Los Santos takes a strike. The count moves to 2-2. Ballmeister, that's a big pitch right there. Didn't want to go 3-1. So now has the count 2-2. Could really use a ground ball right here. Another double play. He got one in the first. Middle infielder's back. Corner's up just a little. 2-2. On the inside corner, a called strike three. Huge pitch from Ballmeister to pick up his second strikeout and the second out of this second inning. Big one right there to get the nine-hole hitter, De Los Santos. The bases are still loaded with two down for the leadoff man, Nick Morabito. Well, I mean, that's huge right there, and that's got to be a confidence-boosting pitch right there to pick up that strikeout knowing the situation and all.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's exactly what you want to see, right? Like, he's able to calm himself down and be able to throw strikes still, even though that was pretty close from, I guess we'll find out on the stats where exactly it was, but it was right down the center. And he's not afraid to do that, right, where it could get hit, where it could be a single.
I think he earned that call right there, whether it was actually a strike or not. You know, he got squeezed on a couple prior in the inning. I think he earned that one.
Right.
Chopper foul over towards the third base dugout.
Always questions about umpiring, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter the level, the game. Even if an umpire's having a great game, somebody's going to be upset about a certain call. It's really a no-win situation for the officials in any sport, but especially baseball. 0-2 pitch coming up from Jackson. Here it is. A little bit too high and in, and the count is 1-2. Well, this would be a huge out to get for Jackson if he can limit the damage to just one run in the inning. He's only allowed one hit. It was the leadoff double, but three walks since then. The right-hander comes set on the mound. 1-2 pitch. That's high again. So he tried the fastball up and in. I think he wants to try a breaking ball here, 2-2. Trust the off-speed stuff.
I like that.
And Jackson's one of those guys who has a looping 12-6 curveball. Not a lot of guys use that nowadays. 2-2, swing and a miss. He goes with a breaking ball, and he picks up a strikeout. Well, he's pumped up as he walks off the mound, and the Cyclones strand the bases loaded. Ballmeister strikes out the side. The Cyclones do get a run, but Ballmeister limited the damage, and the inning is over. A run on a hit, no errors, three left. 1-0 Cyclones after 1.5. We'll head to the bottom of inning number two after this on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Bottom of inning number two here in Aberdeen. Cyclones 1, Ironbirds nothing. The Birds went down 1-2-3 in the bottom of the first. Jackson Ballmeister allowed a run in the top of the second, but he limited the damage. He stranded the bases loaded. And now here we are in the home half of the second. Douglas Hodo the third, Carter Young, and Angel Tejada. the 4, 5, and 6 hitters. Hodo's on a heater right now as Jonah Tong fires a fastball in for a strike. In his last 15 games, Hodo's reached base at a 460 clip with 13 hits, 14 walks, and 2 hit-by-pitches. The guy's been an on-base machine lately. Next pitch, grounded foul up the third baseline. Well, Gabby, talking in the last inning about how you like the statistics side of baseball and just the analytics, which is so huge in baseball now. I mean, going up and down this Ironbirds lineup, we got a lot of guys producing right now. So the stats are all over the place.
Right. I mean, they are. I mean, they're above 500, right? So something's working. Their offense is working, unless they're facing the awful pitching, which could be totally possible. But, I mean, that's a lot of fun to see. And you just talked about a couple of things. You shot off several things about Hodo. So he's out there in center field, too. And really just fun to see how he gets on base. And this time he won't. But
so Tong picks up another strikeout. 4 up, 4 down with 3 strikeouts. So Tong has some pretty insane strikeout numbers on the season. So he started the year with low A St. Lucie in the Florida State League. He only pitched in 4 games before his call up to high A. But he had 36 strikeouts and only 5 walks, an excellent ratio right there. Since coming up to high A, counting the 3 punch-outs tonight, he's up to 48 and only 20 walks in just under 40 innings of work. So really solid strikeout numbers there. Came in striking out 11 batters per 9 in his 9 starts with the Cyclones. He misses high there to Carter Young, another guy who's tearing the cover off the ball. He's slugging .439 in his last 15 games. 5 extra base hits. He's driven in 13 in that span to lead the squad. Third baseman De Los Santos is up a little bit. 1-0 pitch. That misses downstairs, and it's 2-0.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get someone on base right now, right? Get a run in. Give some insurance to Ballmeister.
Well, Ballmeister did a heck of a job getting out of the jam to only allow the one run in the top of the inning. And I think any time a pitcher does that and works through a jam like that, I think the guys playing behind him in the field, in the lineup, I mean, I think that's a huge confidence boost for those guys, saying, hey, look, my pitcher is making big pitches, getting out of a jam. Now we got to go score some runs for him.
Now, yeah, it's like now they have to answer, too. And I don't know where the strike zone is. I know he just swung, but the pitch before that looked very inside. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm sure it's pumped up. You talked about Ballmeister when he walked off the mound. He looked very excited. I have no doubt he went to the dugout with the same energy and trying to give the energy, too, to his teammates.
Well, Jonah Tong just continues to roll. 5 up, 5 down with 4 strikeouts. 2 swinging, 2 looking. Young goes back to the dugout. And that brings up Angel Tejada, the young infielder who's on a 3-game hit streak for the Ironbirds. He doubled in last night's game for his first extra base hit at high A. Last night was his Ironbirds home debut. He's been a mainstay in the lineup since his call-up from low A Delmarva last week. He played in all 6 games at Wilmington last week. He started each of the first 2 games this series. And now he'll look to get Jonah Tong out of the rhythm that he's in right now. 2 outs, no one on, Birds down a run, bottom of the 2nd.
Yeah.
7th round pick in 2022. I mean, you get drafted that high, I mean, organization's got to really love you, and I think the Mets are really liking what they're seeing from this guy out there.
Yeah, that's what it seems like, right? Look, young guy, it's working for him. Something's working for him. And
Tejada fouls one off, counts 2-1.
I mean, he moved up pretty fast.
So I know it's tough when you're working in the sports media industry, and you've spent some time at Camden Yards covering the Orioles over the years, but how many times do you get to Camden Yards on a yearly basis nowadays?
Ooh. I like listening to the broadcast, so I don't really go I don't go too often.
Right. You were saying that you prefer to sometimes, watch at home or listen at home. Supporting the broadcasters, I love it.
If someone's got it right, and that's going to be me.
We got to support ourselves in this industry.
We do. I mean, we really do with 2 or 3 jobs sometimes, yeah. Right? No, I do. It's fun. The atmosphere is a lot of fun. It's a lot different than from when I was covering, because when I was covering, I remember they would say the attendance would be like 11,000. We're like, there's maybe 3,000 people here. And now it's like doubled, tripled from what it was. So the atmosphere is a lot of fun. I went to the entire Rays series, so I didn't do that.
Another strikeout for Jonah Tong. That's his 5th. 6 up, 6 down tonight. The Ironbirds have some work to do to get him off of the role that he's on, but he is doing his thing tonight. So through two innings of play here in Aberdeen, the Ironbirds trail 1-0. We'll head to the top of the third and see what Jackson Baumeister can do after getting out of the jam in the last half inning. Keep it locked on MILB TV and Bally Live. Top of the third inning at Aberdeen, Cyclones 1, Ironbirds nothing. Right-hander Jonah Tong, the starter for the Cyclones, has gone 6-up, 6-down with 5 strikeouts. He's locked in. Baumeister looking to lock in and settle in after getting out of a bases-loaded jam in the second. He allowed a run, but that was it. 3 walks in that inning, and now he'll look to find the strike zone as he fires a pitch over the outside corner to Jesus Baez, who bounced into a double play his first time up. Baez, LaRusso, and Tillian. As the Birds look to keep it a 1-0 game, Baumeister 42 pitches through 2. So a little bit high through those 2 innings, but looking for a quick inning. And, Gabby, we talked about the confidence-boosting third out of the inning. He looked a little fired up as he got off the mound. Doesn't show a ton of emotion, but for him, you know, you could definitely tell he was pumped up. And I think now just time for him to just settle in.
Yeah, I mean, he held off just one run after the bases were loaded twice. So, yeah. I mean, I know that walk didn't help him, but holding off one run is a pretty big deal. I mean, it's got to be a huge confidence booster. And I mean, you saw him walking off the mound with the energy and everything. Just saw Baez not happy with the ump right now either.
No, a couple guys on both sides giving some looks back there. Swing and a miss. Another strikeout for Baumeister. It's his fourth. So he's got this strikeout stuff working tonight. Back-to-back punch-outs after getting the third out of the second via strikeout. That brings up Nick LaRusso. Let's set the defense for Aberdeen. Randy Florentino is catching. In the infield, Angel Tejeda at third. Carter Young at short. Christian Benavides at second. And Maxwell Costas at first. And then in the outfield, Luis Valdez in left. Douglas Hodo in center. And Reed Trimble in right. One out, no one on. Breaking ball misses outside. Counts 1-0 to LaRusso. Baumeister striking out batters almost one out of every 4 that he faces. A 26.2 strikeout percentage entering tonight's game with a swinging strike percentage over 12%. So that's going up with the 4 strikeouts and the swing and misses that he's getting tonight. Counts quickly 2-0 on LaRusso. Baumeister had arguably his best outing of the season against the Cyclones back on June 8th on Coney Island. Threw 76 pitches, a career-high 5 innings for Baumeister that day. Gave up just 1 earned run and picked up 6 strikeouts. So a guy who's pitched well against this Cyclones team, looking to replicate that tonight.
Yeah, trying not to walk this guy either. Doesn't want to get anyone on base right now and call that a strike delayed reaction, but 3-1 now.
That's a big pitch there, 3-0, like you said. I mean, the 3 walks in the second inning. Doesn't want to put somebody on with a free pass here. So the count 3-1 on LaRusso, who popped out to short to end the first. Baumeister worked a quick first and then that lengthy second. Birds down 1-0 here, top 3. 3-1, good pitch there. Gets a swing and a miss, and now has a chance to come all the way back with the count 3-2.
Better to come back and go to full count than walk him right now and see what he does right now. Probably what you said, breaking ball. That was working. Got the last out there.
3-2. Went with the fastball, and it's blooped over the second baseman Benavides' head into right center. Trimble picks it up, and he holds LaRusso to a single. But, I mean, you know, single and a walk, same result. You got a guy on first base. But you'd almost rather see a guy get a hit there and make a swing on a good pitch than see another walk.
That's what I just was thinking, too. Like, that was a really good pitch. It was right there in the center of the strike zone. So, I mean, yeah, exactly what you said. It was made it to full count. At least he didn't walk him, and it was a good pitch.
So runner at first with one down. Short lead for LaRusso. Here's Junior Tillian, who doubled and scored his first time up. 1-0 Cyclones top three. Pitch missed outside as Baumeister looking to lock in and consistently find the strike zone.
Yeah, it seems like he's kind of getting away from the count now where he has to keep catching up.
1-0 pitch. That's in for a strike, so a good comeback pitch there, and the count is 1-1. A run on three hits for the Cyclones so far. The Ironbirds have not had a base runner yet through two innings. They'll look to get the bats going as this game progresses. But right now, up to Baumeister to keep things where they are. Next pitch, good fastball, swing and a miss. 92 on the gun.
A lot of swings from this team, too. I mean, like, obviously they're trying to get on base, but very aggressive approach, but it's good for Baumeister, too. He's able to show different pitches, and they don't know what's coming.
Right. Well, you see some teams will just go up there, and it's like they're looking for walks. But, I mean, this Brooklyn team came out swinging tonight. Now, they have walked three times, but it's not like they're going up there and taking everything. Next pitch. Called strike three, top of the zone, and Baumeister picks up another strikeout. That's his fifth.
I had a question. I thought that was going to be a ball. That looked like a ball from up here and on the screen,
well,
too.
Junior Tillian wasn't thrilled with the call.
No.
But five punch-outs for Baumeister to match the five for Tong. And that brings up Jeffrey De Los Santos with two down and a runner still at first.
Here's a guy that walked his first time up.
Yeah, it was the walk to De Los Santos where I really thought he was getting squeezed. Runner takes off from first, pitch is fouled back, and the count is 0-1. And at the time, runner at second with no outs, and a borderline pitch gets called for a ball, and I think that really set the tone. You know, if that pitch is called a strike, it may change the entire inning.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, right now, strike zone's kind of everywhere, so.
It has looked a little inconsistent tonight.
Yeah.
Baumeister peeks over his shoulder at first. 0-1, that's in the dirt. Nice stop by Florentino to keep the runner over at first base. So, of all the interviews that you've done throughout your career, is there one that stands out as a favorite? Whether it was just a really enjoyable interview or you know, is, you know, the player gave you just a lot to go off of? You know, favorite interview, do you got one?
You know, I don't really have a favorite. I think I enjoyed talking to, I covered college football, so Matt Canada, and he came in as an interim head coach during that time with the Terps when there was a, you know, ton of things going on, and he was, it's not fun to interview, obviously someone passed away during that time on the football team, and but he, the way he just controlled the interview and just, he was able to talk to everyone, you appreciate that, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember that still to this day, how he was always ready to talk, and you know, obviously they're prepped and everything before that, but you appreciate stuff like that when, like, they're going through a hard time, they're still able to take the time to talk to you.
Right.
I did appreciate that. I remember actually talking to Michael Pierce. He got called off the field, the Ravens, because he was overweight coming into training camp. And we were able to talk to him, I think it was about 4 days later, and he was able to talk to us, like, no problem. And that was, you know, again, that's something you have to kind of be strong about, because he knows he just got kicked off the field because he was not performance ready.
Snap throw down to first, runner back safely. Nice thought from Florentino there. Count is 3-2 on Jeffrey De Los Santos in the left-handed batter's box. Two outs of the inning, runner at first, birds down a run here in the top of the third. I mean, it's always great when, you know, there's an interesting story to tell, whether it's a positive story or a negative one. Like, you've got a job to do as the reporter and the person conducting the interview. It's it's always much better when the person you're interviewing gives you a lot and knows that it's your job to tell the story, even if it's not a, a great story to tell.
Right, and it's the hard questions, but it's like sometimes it's the most interesting ones and the best interviews where it's like, no, like, you know, Michael Pierce kind of owned up to it, and, you know, he found out some nutrition stuff, and that was really great. And obviously getting kicked off the field, being called out in front of everyone. I think there was a full, you know, all those fans there too.
Swing and a miss. Another strikeout for Jackson Baumeister as he continues to rack up the K's. Give him a six-pack through three innings of one-run ball, and he is rolling after getting out of that bases-loaded jam in the second. No runs on a hit, no errors, as Baumeister fans the side in the third. So we'll go to the home half of the third and see if the Birds can get something going with the bats. They trail 1-0. Keep it locked on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. Move to the bottom of the third inning here in Aberdeen. Michael Marcantonini and Gabby DiPaolo with you on the broadcast. Birds trail the Cyclones 1-0. Birds still looking for their first base runner of the night after Jackson Baumeister picked up three more strikeouts in a scoreless third. We'll go to the home half and see what the bats can do. Maxwell Costas, the seven-hole hitter, leading things off against right-hander Jonah Tong. First pitch from Tong almost clipped Maxwell around the hand. When he got out of the way, counts 1-0. So Costas, then Randy Florentino, and Christian Benavides against Tong, who has five strikeouts already. He's only faced the minimum six. 1-0, breaking ball, drops it right in there. Well, I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, Gabby, you got a Terp in the Cyclones lineup. You got a Terp right here in Costas in the Ironbirds lineup. Guys are everywhere tonight.
We are. You know, their baseball team has grown a lot from Maryland. When I was there, they were okay. Brendan Lau was there, who's on the Rays.
Yeah.
He was there when I was there. So I remember them recruiting and everything. They recruited one of my friends from high school, actually. I think he only played there for 2 years. But Maryland baseball has grown a ton, and I know they just got a new head coach recently and, you know, still trying to recruit and everything. So it's hard with competing against the SEC and, you know, Big 12 teams. So.
Right.
You just saw Tennessee won. They won their first championship.
Well, it's impressive what Maryland has done, being a team in the Mid-Atlantic Northeast region. Next pitch to Costas. Liner out to short.
Oh!
Nice leaping grab by Baez. Wow. Takes a hit away from Maxwell Costas. Man, he got up right there.
It kind of looked like he was just jumping to see if he could reach it, and the ball just landed in his glove.
Yeah, I mean, off the bat, I'm thinking that's for sure in the left center for a base hit. But timed his jump as well as you can right there. Showing off the bunnies. One up, one down, and that's seven in a row set down by Tong. And that brings up Randy Florentino. But to the point that I was just about to make, you mentioned the SEC and the Big 12 and even the Pac-12, which now no longer exists at this point. But
yeah.
Basically all the schools in, whether it's the Southeast or the Southwest or the warm weather states,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's where most of the D1 baseball talent goes. So for Maryland to do what they've done in a couple Big Ten titles within the last few years, it's impressive for a Mid-Atlantic school.
No, it really is because, I mean, I don't think it's technically hard to recruit at Maryland. I mean, they're in a city. They're near D.C. There's a lot of resources there, but they're just not known for baseball, right? Like, it's football. It's lacrosse. It's other sports. So, but now they're growing. It's getting better. They didn't have a great year this year. Went there, what was it, 2022, when they were trying to compete for a championship. I did go to a couple of those games, which was a lot of fun. So, yeah, I mean, it shouldn't be that hard, but, like, a lot of the high school kids that I actually just, you know, interviewed for those games up in PA. One's going to JMU, one's staying in Pennsylvania to go to sales, and I don't think anyone's going really south. They're all staying kind of in the area, but there's a lot of talent up there, so you know, they're able to stay in the area. Virginia is, you know, probably about 8 hours away, JMU from Pennsylvania, so.
Breaking ball sent in the air to deep right center field. Clark is over, so is De Los Santos.
Ooh.
And it looks like Clark made the catch. He did. A little bit of miscommunication out there, maybe, as both went for it. But Florentino retired. He got a hanging breaking ball and got it up in the air, but nothing to show for it. So two up, two down here in the third, and that brings up Christian Benavides, the second baseman. Just 19 years old, making his Ironbirds home debut. He went 0-6 in three games at Wilmington last week. But to your point, Gabby, about the talent up in this area, the Mid-Atlantic, Northeast, mm-hmm. you know, don't sleep on it because, I mean,
no,
like I said, everybody focuses on those southern states for baseball,
yeah,
the warm weather states. But, I mean, you got some ballers up here.
You really do. I mean, there's a lot of football talent around here, too, and especially in the DMV area. But baseball, Pennsylvania, I mean, teams and colleges should definitely be recruiting more up there.
A one pitch misses high and away to Benavides. Well, Jonah Tong is locked in tonight. 8-up, 8-down to start. Maxwell Costas hit a liner out to short that Baez leaped up and caught. Now, you know, if that ball gets down, that's a base hit, and it breaks the run that Tong is on.
I know we don't have replay, but it really looked like when he made that jump and his glove was up, it kind of didn't. It didn't even look like he was really looking at the ball.
Yeah.
He just hoped that it was going to land in his glove, and fortunately it did.
Benavides fouls one back, counts 1-2. Well, yeah, I mean, it was really smooth, and it just happened so fast. But, yeah, it's one of those you just stick the leather up, and hopefully the ball finds it.
Yeah. But it's funny, you know, going back to recruiting, I graduated high school a long time ago, but two of my good friends, they were recruited to D1 schools, one Maryland, like I said, and then one Towson. They end up winning the conference 1 year. But, you know, you never know around this area, Maryland, Pennsylvania, some people in Delaware as well, New Jersey, some good New Jersey teams too, in high school.
Well, I talk to some of the guys here in Aberdeen every once in a while about, you know, where they're from, their hometowns, and you got guys from all over the country, all over the world, but specifically for the U.S.-born players that'll come from mm-hmm. states that maybe might not be known for baseball talent. You know, Mac Horvath from Rochester, Minnesota. Tavian Josenberger from Overland Park, Kansas, in that Kansas City area. I mean, there are guys from all these different states, and, you know, they tell me all the time, you know, sneaky good talent. You know, don't sleep on it. Next pitch, swing and a miss. Another strikeout for Jonah Tong. That is his sixth, and he is through the order, in order, once again. Three straight 1-2-3 frames to start the night for Tong, 9 up, 9 down, and he is locked in. Perfect through three, and we are now through three. Birds trail the Cyclones 1-0. We'll head to the top of the fourth after another quick break on MILB-TV and Bally Live.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
If you're looking for a rental contract or want to have your property managed, then contact TCA Property Management, Inc. Whether you need to rent it or need it rented, owner Don Curry and his dedicated staff offer 24/7 service. Contact Don and the TCA Property Management team today at 410-273-9585 or email office at tcaprop.com. That's 410-273-9585, and you can visit www.tcaproperty.com for more information.
We move to the top of the fourth inning here in Aberdeen. Birds trail the Cyclones 1-0. Jonah Tong is perfect through three innings for the Cyclones. On the flip side, Jackson Baumeister's looked good. He settled down after a tough second, but he's only allowed one run on three hits. He's worked around three walks, and he has six strikeouts. His first pitch of the fourth to Mateo Gill is in for a strike, and the count is 0-1. So Burns down 1-0, trying to keep it that way. Good pitcher's duel early. Michael Marcantonini and Gabby DePaula with you on the broadcast tonight. The guest in the booth series rolls on. My first guest of the week. Liner out to short. Backhanded by Young from shallow left. Throws to first, and it's in time to get Gill.
Sure.
Really nice play by Carter Young, showing off the arm, and Maxwell Costas with the stretch over at first to hold the bag. 6-3 on the putout. That brings up Kellum Clark, the right fielder. Well, Gabby, right now the Iron Birds, not only do they not have a run, they don't have a hit. But, you know, I keep a guest in the booth runs leaderboard. I can't let you leave here without any runs. I mean, you got to get on the board at some point.
Has anyone ever been in the booth when there hasn't been a run?
So I've had a few guests that have done just part of a game, three or four innings. And
okay.
Some of those guests have left with no runs. But oof. Nobody that stayed for a full game has gotten shut out.
I know you did mention someone had like 14 runs or something. We won't mention his name.
No,
but
yeah.
There was someone that was in here.
There was this guy that came in April, joined me for a broadcast. He put up 12 runs.
I forget his name. And he, 12 runs? I thought you said 14.
Yeah,
12,
it's
still a lot.
He's on the top of the leaderboard. And he won't let anyone forget it. Baumeister gets a swing and a miss, counts 2-1 on Clark. May see him around the ballpark again at some point this year.
He's probably at Camden Yards right now, actually.
2-1 pitch coming up. That's outside. And the count's 3-1. Well, Baumeister did a good job locking in and finding the strike zone in the third. Does not want to walk Clark here. Does have the first out of the inning. Well, there was bullpen action in the second and third for the Ironbirds. And
yeah.
Same thing here in the fourth, but the fact that the Ironbirds didn't have to go to the bullpen meant that Baumeister was doing something right. Fly ball to deep center. It sends Hodo back. He's at the track, and he makes the grab shy of the wall.
That was a mooner.
It's a loud out number two, but it is an out. And, yeah, like you said, that's a moonshot right there. That one's way up there.
That looked like that was going out of the park completely.
I'll bring up Christian Pregent, the catcher, who brought home the game's only run with a bases-loaded walk back in the second. Well, before we go any further and Pregent gets a chance to hit, that's it for Baumeister as Felipe Alou Jr., the Ironbirds manager, takes the baseball from Jackson, so he's done after 3 2/3 and 70 pitches. We'll get you the final line on Jackson when we come back. But we'll take a quick break and let you know who the new arm is when we come back as well. But the Birds trail 1-0 here in the top of the fourth, two outs, no one on. Stay locked in on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Top of the fourth inning here in Aberdeen, two outs, no one on. The new pitcher for the Birds is right-hander Logan Reinhart. Reinhart takes over for Jackson Baumeister, who is done after 3 2/3 innings tonight. Pitched really well, struck out six, walked just three, gave up only the one run, which came in on a bases-loaded walk in the second, scattered the three hits, and he only got through 3 2/3, but reached that pitch count. Ironbirds and, you know, the Orioles organization very careful with these young arms. Baumeister got to 70 pitches through 39 strikes. So he is done, and now Reinhart takes over as the Birds look to combine for a 1-2-3 fourth inning. Baumeister picked up a ground out and a fly out here in the inning. He retired the last four he faced. And now Reinhart gets Christian Pregent, the catcher, to foul one off, a little dribbler up the first baseline. Counts 0-1.
Yeah, we were just talking before coming back on. I would love to see Ballmeister finish the inning. It's not what happens. It's not what they're doing to develop, like you just said. You said the Phillies and Brooklyn. They might leave their pitchers in longer.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a case-by-case basis based on the organization. And the Orioles, they've got a really good approach to these young arms with, you know, they're not going to let a guy out there and just, you know, run down his arm this early. But Reinhart makes quick work of Christian Pregent. Throws three pitches, three strikes, and the inning's over. So Ballmeister and Reinhart combined for a 1-2-3 fourth inning. And the pitcher's duel continues here in the Dean through 3.5. The Birds still trail 1-0. We'll see if they can get some runs when we come back. Keep it locked on MILB TV and Bally Live. Come back after this quick break. We move to the bottom of the fourth inning in Aberdeen. The Birds trail the Cyclones 1-0. Jonah Tong has retired all nine batters he's faced so far tonight. One time through the lineup, he's racked up six strikeouts. Got a really nice leaping grab out at short from Jesus Baez to rob Maxwell Casas of a hit in the last inning. So the perfect game still intact. And, of course, at the minor league level, most, if not all, these guys are they're not going nine innings. But, you know, for the sake of the storyline, a perfect game bid for Tong right now through three. Back to the top, here's Luis Valdez. Shows bunt and comes up empty as he stabbed at it. Counts 0-1. Well, if there's a guy who can find his way on base, you know, by just dropping a bunt down, even if the defense sniffs it out and makes a nice play on it, it's Valdez with his speed.
Yeah, it kind of looked like De Los Santos was ready for it, too.
Yeah, so De Los Santos with no strikes and one strike on Valdez was up, but now with two strikes on Luis, he backs up, and he's off the line now. The other three infielders deep as well. We'll see what Luis can do with two strikes on him. You can't steal first, but here's a guy when he gets on first base, might be on second and then third in a couple pitches. Grounded foul down the third base line. Count stays 0-2.
Kind of looks like that was going to bounce fair for a second. Ended up going left of the third base. Like the thought process of that, though, that would have been great if that stayed fair.
I mean, right now, the Ironbirds are looking for a base runner any way they can get one. Jonah Tong got through the first three innings on just 42 pitches. He's rolling. 0-2, just got a piece, and Valdez stays alive. And of the 42 pitches, 30 were strikes, so only 12 pitches out of the zone. It's tough to get a guy out of a rhythm like that when he's just around the strike zone all night.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, like you said, he has tunnel vision right now. And he's going through the lineup again, and he's still dominating.
We'll see if the Ironbirds can make some adjustments and figure some things out this second time through the order. You got speed and Valdez up at the dish. You've got a big league hitter in Taron Vavra on deck, and Reed Trimble, maybe the hottest hitter in the league, in the hole. So, see if they can get something going. 1-2, high and away. I mean, this might be one of those games, Gabby, where it just takes that first base runner, and then the offense breaks out.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what's been like with the Orioles, I feel like, the past six, seven, eighth inning. That's when they kind of, you know, when their other team gets into the bullpen, and that's when they get their hits.
So Valdez smacks another one foul, and he stays alive once again. Counts 2-2.
You know, in the third time through the order, it's kind of where you usually will see your hits.
Right.
Because they've already seen them twice, same pitcher. Knows what it's probably going to throw. Knows where their zone is.
2-2, swing and a miss. Took something off that one. Another strikeout for Jonah Tong. That's his seventh, and he's retired all 10 that he's faced.
You know, Valdez looked really angry there. I think he knew that he swung at the wrong pitch because it went outside. Like, yeah. He took his helmet off and kind of in anger, I should say. And
so 10 up, 10 down. We'll see if Vavra can break the streak and end the perfect game bid. Seven strikeouts already for Tong as he gets another swing and a miss. And that is the eighth time this season that he's fanned at least seven in a game combined on the year between low A and high A. His first two games of the season, which were down in the Florida State League low A, he combined to strike out 21 batters in 8 1/3. Fly ball to deep right field. Clark is back. He can't get it. It's over his head, and it hops over the wall. A ground rule double for Taron Vavra. And there you go. First base runner, first hit for the Ironbirds. And now the tying runs in scoring position just like that.
And kind of exactly what you said. Sometimes it's just that one hit that can get things going. And maybe that it is for Vavra, who's trying to make his way back into the majors.
I mean, that's a great point. You know, not only is he trying to get back to the AAA club in Norfolk where he's been this season, but there's been a lot of shuffling going on, especially in the infield in Baltimore this year.
Oh, my gosh,
so
yeah.
There, you know, there's an opportunity for a guy like Taron if he can get healthy.
Yeah, especially with the trade deadline coming up. You never know who's going to be traded. I mean, Jorge Mateo, he's having a great year, so it kind of doesn't look like smart. What do I know, right, for Jorge to get traded, but making some room there.
There moves will be made. It's going to be interesting to see what moves get made and, you know, who the Orioles bring in. A contender, of course. A buyer, of course. Grounded out to second. And Trimble is retired on the 4-3 put out. But it gets Vavra up to third. So the tying run is 90 feet away now. And Douglas Hodo, the third, will have a shot. Birds down 1-0, bottom of the fourth.
You know, you might be getting into Tong's head now. Going through the lineup again, the third time, runner on third.
Well, he hasn't had to work out of the stretch all night, and, you know, now has to make that adjustment.
Two outs, though, just needs one more, see how he handles it.
Dropped in a breaking ball to Hodo, and the count's 0-1. He has not shied away from dropping the curveball in there.
Looked so low. The zone today is just... Well, I guess it came up on our stats that it was a hit.
Ground ball to right side. That's through into right field, a base hit. We're tied at one thanks to Douglas Hodo's RBI single as Vavra comes in from third. Vavra doubled to get the Birds their first base runner of the game. Trimble moved him over to third, and now Hodo brings him home. And Doug stays hot.
Exactly what you said, and it's good to see with two outs, you know, kind of some pressure. You finally get someone on base. He's on third. You want to get him home. Hodo's able to get Vavra home.
Ninth RBI of the season for Hodo. Move over to first. He's back. Well, there's another stolen base threat over at first base. Hodo is 21 for 23 swiping bags this year. See if he tries to get himself in scoring position for Young with two down. So we're tied at one in the bottom of the fourth. Birds with two hits in the inning after... Tong started the night 10 up, 10 down.
And there's no one, at least from here, looks like no one in the bullpen's up.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's his inning right now. And, mm-hmm. Well, you talked about the third time through the order is where teams usually really break out. But the Ironbirds figuring some things out the second time through. Pitches in for a strike, so it's 0-2 on Young.
Yeah, like you said, two outs right now. Hodo had that perfect single to get Vavra home.
Yeah, went the other way, had a big hole on that right side, and just knocked it that way. 0-2, two-out pitch, fastball just off the plate. That's a good take from Young.
It was, and I thought he was going to call it a strike for a second.
I was thinking the same thing.
It's coming up on our stats today. It's definitely a ball.
Tong with a long pause. 1-2, swing and a miss. Another fastball up in the zone and another strikeout. That's his eighth of the game. So he continues to rack up the punch outs. But the Ironbirds get to Tong in the bottom of the fourth, a Vavra double, and a Hodo RBI single to tie it. We are knotted at 1-4, and we'll head to the top of the fifth as Logan Reinhart gets ready to go back out there. Keep it locked on MILB TV and Bally Live. Top of the fifth inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. We're tied at one, Ironbirds and Cyclones, in game two of a six-game series and game two of a nine-game homestand for the Birds. De Los Santos, Morabito, and Baez, 9-1-2 for the Clones against right-hander Logan Reinhart, who threw three pitches and picked up a strikeout to get the final out of the fourth. He took over for Jackson Baumeister, who started and went 3 2/3. So here's Omar De Los Santos, the center fielder, pops up a bunt behind home plate, and it's into the seats.
Yeah, they're just trying to get a couple more runs on the board now. You know, they're into the bullpen.
Yeah, trying to get some on base. Things up. I mean, you know, the one run that they scored in the second, you know, it came in on a bases-loaded walk, so it wasn't even like they strung a bunch of hits together to get that run in.
Right.
Nothing since then.
And Baumeister looked good after that inning, so.
Baumeister will officially take a no decision tonight. The Birds just got the tying run in the home half of the fourth. 0-1, chopped over to third. Nice play by Tejada. Strong throw to first in time. Angel Tejada, some quick reflexes to his left right there, and then fired a strike over to Costas. So one up, one down as Reinhart gets the leadoff man, De Los Santos. Now back to the top for Morabito. Talking to Gabby DePaula from CBS Sports here in the broadcast booth. Harford County native. Bel Air native, so shout out to the Harco squad tuned in tonight. So I know you told me off air you may have some people tuning in to the broadcast tonight.
Yeah, I might, you know, put it on social and everything. I have a ton of people that, I mean, I'm from here, so I know a ton of people that listen to the game and watch the game, and even the Ironbirds. So Ironbirds, minor leagues, everyone I talk to, they're all into the minor league system around here. Ironbirds is in Harford County. It's very close, so ton of people have come here and watched games and definitely tuning in.
I know it's been, you know, you said over 10 years since you'd been in this ballpark before tonight. So yes. I mean, it's
been a while.
I'm gonna test your memory here. I mean, do you, from going to games growing up, do you have any favorite memories from Ironbirds games, whether it was something that happened on the field or just an experience here at the ballpark?
I used to just come here a lot with my friends, my teammates, when I was cheering, and that was always a good time. Stadium used to be packed all the time here.
Yeah, we're getting to a point in the season where it's going to start being filled up on a nightly basis. Mm-hmm. You know, in the summer, you got the youth tournaments across the street, those families coming over.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was just always fun because it seemed like another major league game, and, you know, this game is obviously important. There's a ton of, you know, possibility of getting to the majors. There's a lot going on here, so I always loved it because I love baseball. So
yeah, I mean, there's, you know, any minor league ballpark, you know, there's hope, there's energy, there's excitement, mm-hmm. because there's so much going on, and I think the atmosphere of minor league baseball is just different. You don't get it in other sports,
right? And it's not that you want to see anyone in rehab, but seeing one of them, like Taron Ravra, right now in rehab, he's been in the majors multiple times and played on the Orioles with in the majors, so. It's kind of fun to see that.
Ground ball out to short. Young takes care of it over to Costas. And Morabito is retired. So two ground ball outs for Reinhart. And that brings up Baez. I think that's exactly the way to put it, is nobody wants to see guys get hurt. But if there's an opportunity to see a player who's working his way back from an injury make a rehab appearance in a minor league ballpark, you know, that's special because
it's more intimate. Yeah. You get better seats. It's cool because they're flashy. You know, they're going to get to the majors. It's really cool to see. So it's a good ballpark to go to and watch that.
Yeah, I mean, I remember growing up. So I'm from the Philadelphia area. Trenton, New Jersey's not too far, less than an hour, and they used to be a double-A affiliate of the Yankees. And I saw an Alex Rodriguez rehab appearance.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
No, I mean, and regardless of, you know, it's very split opinion on A-Rod out there. And he's a controversial figure in sports.
Big name, though.
But, it was just so cool seeing the place packed to see A-Rod.
Yeah.
You know, a guy who's top five on the all-time home run list.
Yeah.
A one from Reinhardt that's down in the dirt.
Yeah, kind of like what you said. Whatever your opinion is, it's still kind of cool to see.
Yeah, very cool.
Big name in baseball, obviously. Still is, you know. He does pregame for Fox, I think.
Yeah.
Or MLB.
He's all over the place. Fox, ESPN.
Yeah.
Owns the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Minnesota Lynx.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I watch Shark Tank. He was on Shark Tank a couple times, too. So, yeah, he's everywhere. Yeah.
Counts 2-1 on Baez as Reinhardt looks for a 1-2-3 fifth. Well, who were some of your favorite Orioles growing up?
I get made fun of for this all the time. Love Jay Gibbons.
Okay.
I know he was another controversial player. Obviously, I love Cal Ripken. I cried when he retired, even though I was like 4 or 5. I was so young.
Fly ball to deep center field. Hodo on his horse. He ranges back, makes the catch on the run, and the inning is over. A 1-2-3 inning for Logan Reinhardt, and we are still knotted at one after 4.5. Well, Reinhardt's retired. All four he's faced out of the pen. We'll go to the home half of the fifth and see if the Ironbirds can take their first lead of the night. So stay locked in on MILB TV and Bally Live. Ironbirds and Cyclones tied at one, home half of the fifth inning here in Aberdeen. Great game tonight on both sides. Some excellent pitching from both the Ironbirds and the Cyclones. And the Ironbirds finally got on the board and got their first two hits of the night in the bottom of the fourth. Jonah Tong back out there for the Cyclones here in the fifth. He retired the first 10 batters that he faced. But Taron Vavra's ground rule double and Douglas Hodo's RBI single to right helped tie the game in the home half of the fourth, so here we are in the home half of the fifth. Tejeda 0-for-1 with a strikeout tonight. And the young infielder swings at the first pitch and grounds one up the middle. It sneaks into shallow center. It's a leadoff base hit for Tejada. He's headed for second now. Here's the throw. Head first dive. He's safe. A hustle double for Angel Tejada. And he's in scoring position with no outs in the bottom of inning number 5.
He kind of slid a little early there, don't you think?
Yeah, and
a good
I think
call by him. It worked, but I was a little scared he was going to slow up right before the base.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to slide too early and then not get there. But
good call by him.
Yeah, I mean, with this turf, I talk to these guys a lot about it, and they say, you know, you really do have to start your slide a little bit earlier.
Okay.
Now, I mean, maybe not quite that early, but it worked out for him.
It looked pretty early. I mean, it really looked like he was going to slow down right before the second base. But
so, I mean, I said a hustle double. We'll see if it goes down as a single and an error. I mean, that's a tough play for both middle infielders, so I don't know that you can call that an error. And they gave him a double, so okay, so he gets
they
the double.
They gave him a double, but it looked like it was in his glove. He just couldn't completely grab
right.
it.
I mean, definitely not a routine play. So Baez got a glove on it, and then it hit off of Tillian, and then Tillian picked it up in shallow right center. But great awareness by Tejada, who didn't round first base. You know, he was sprinting through the bag, as you would when you hit an infield ground ball. But once he saw it got into center, he took off for second, and it's a big-time play.
I mean, kind of what we've just been saying in the past couple of innings, right? Like, we're in. He's seen the lineup yet again for the third time, and this is when they're all getting their bats and getting on base and probably getting Tong at the right time. Don't see anyone up still in their bullpen. Maybe some stretching going on, but no one's throwing.
Costas takes a strike. It's 2-1. We're tied at one here with no outs and a runner at second in the bottom of the fifth. Angel Tejada, a hustle double to start the inning. And he's hit safely in four in a row now with doubles in back-to-back nights. So here's Costas, who lined out to short. Now he grounds one to short. Throw goes to third, and Tejada is tagged out. Well, the Ironbirds just ran themselves into an out right there as Tejada tried to get to third, and a smart heads-up play by Baez to go to third. So Costas safe at first on the fielder's choice, but that's a tough one right there.
It's a little too aggressive of a move. I think it was hit right there where he was running to, and I think he should have just stayed at second. A right. couple of years ago, the Orioles had, I forget the third base coach at the time, he was really aggressive sending players home, and that's kind of what it looked like. It was just like too aggressive on the call, and it can lose you games.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's tough. I mean, you know, credit to Baez for reacting and throwing to third, but I generally they teach, you know, if the ball's in front of you when you're out at second, you know, stay put. Behind you, go to third. But
you know, aggressive, trying to win the game. Ooh.
Ground ball up the middle, in and out of Baez's glove, and instead of potentially turning a double play, he doesn't get anybody. Costas safe at second, and Florentino safe at first, and that one will most likely go down as an E6.
So a lot of the games I've covered in baseball and softball, for that matter, all the fields have been grass. So in this case, when we've seen a couple, that one's probably going to be an error, but the play before that when Tejada had that double, do you think the glove has anything to do, or the field has anything to do with picking up the ball and the
yeah.
glove and everything?
I think it definitely makes a difference. I mean, I talk to infielders all the time. They say the ball just gets on you quicker on turf. And, you know, it's just, you know, depending on how hard the ball is hit, that, you know, off of turf can change the trajectory. As Benavides lines one foul into the Ironbirds dugout, counts 0-1. So it definitely plays a role. And right now, the Ironbirds looking to take advantage of the error. Costas at second, Florentino at first. One out in a tie game here in the bottom of the fifth. The Cyclones got their run in the second on a bases-loaded walk. The Ironbirds got their run in the bottom of the fourth on Hodo's RBI single.
So how do they feel about the turf, playing on turf?
Yeah,
I don't like it.
It's definitely mixed opinions. Benavidez swings and misses. It's 0-2. And definitely, yeah, I would say that's the best way to describe it. Mixed opinions. Mm-hmm. I think there's so many pros to turf with, you
right.
know, anytime it rains, you can pretty much get through a game unless mm-hmm. it's just pouring. But, you know, I know it's tough on these guys' bodies for sure. 0-2, Benavidez takes strike three. Ooh. And it's yet another strikeout for Jonah Tong. That's his ninth. And we're not even through inning number five.
Benavidez kind of knew that was a strikeout, too, as
yeah.
he put his head down and walked towards the dugout. Smacked
yeah.
his
No question
bat
there.
Too. A lot of passion going on in there in that dugout.
I know, guys, I mean, that's really the biggest thing is their knees and back. You know, playing every day on the turf is definitely tough. And you hear it from guys at the big league level as well. Back to the top of the order for Luis Valdez, who's up for the third time. He fouls one back. Counts 0-1. So first and second with two down. In a tie game here in the bottom of the fifth. We'll talk about the third time through the lineup, Gabby. So we're starting that third time now. And Valdez just got a really good swing against Tong. 0-1 breaking ball. And I don't think Luis was expecting that. Dropped the deuce in there. And the count is 0-2. Double fielder's choice, error, strikeout. That's how the inning's gone so far. Now 0-2 on Valdez. All four infielders back. Next pitch, swing and a miss. Fastball up top, and another strikeout for Jonah Tong. That's his 10th. It's the third time this season he's reached double digits in strikeouts. First time he's done it at high A, and he is through five innings of one run ball. So Valdez down on strikes. The Birds go quietly. No runs on a hit, one error. Two left on. We're knotted at one through five. We'll head to the top of the sixth after another quick break on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Top of the sixth inning in Aberdeen. We're tied at one, Ironbirds and Cyclones, in game two of a six-game series. New arm for the Birds. It's right-hander Yaki Rivera, who takes over for Logan Reinhart. An inning and a third scoreless in relief. He faced four batters, got them all. And Rivera comes in and pumps a fastball in for strike one to Nick LaRusso, the DH. It's LaRusso, Tillian, and De Los Santos. Fly ball right field, not too deep. Trimble a couple steps back, now over. And he makes the grab. So two pitches, one out for Yaki Rivera here in the top of the sixth. Good start to his night. And that brings up Junior Tillian. Well, the first out of an inning is always huge, especially in a tie game in the middle and late innings. Rivera doing a job. Ballmeister started, went 3 2/3. Reinhart an inning and a third, and now Yaki Rivera. Three-pitch pitcher as Rivera misses low with a breaking ball. Rivera has a fastball, a sweeper, and a changeup to work with. Working fast, he misses again. It's 2-0. Talking to Gabby DePaula from CBS Sports, my guest in the booth tonight. Got a big series of guests in the booth with some more to join me through the rest of this nine-game homestand.
Yeah, you've had some good people in here.
Yeah, it's been fun, and it's been really cool to get people from different media outlets, you know, from different areas. A lot of Baltimore area natives, but some from outside, and you just get different perspectives and fun conversation.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And Baltimore's so small where it's like everyone knows everyone in the media field, and we're pretty lucky in that way, right? Everyone is somehow connected. And
fly ball to left field. Valdez got a good break, and he makes the catch on the run. So two up, two down for Rivera.
Kind of looked like that was going to drop for a second. Went straight to his glove.
Yeah, speed made up for it there and got to the ball. That's a great point. I just that's one thing that's really stood out to me is everybody who covers, whether it's the Orioles, the Ravens, or just Baltimore media, not even always covering sports. Everyone's really connected.
Yeah, even down there in College Park at Maryland, I mean, I remember seeing the same faces that were covering the Orioles and the Ravens and everything. So everyone's pretty connected, and you know, everyone's willing to talk, and like you said, hearing different perspectives. Some people might like one thing, and some people might like the complete opposite.
Well, it's been a really fun season in Aberdeen for a lot of reasons, but you know, one of the big reasons is the Guest in the Booth series that I'm doing. It's just so fun to have different voices and perspectives in the broadcast booth, and I think it's cool how everybody's, you know, kind of followed along. When they join me on a broadcast, they follow along to see who the other guests are.
Yeah, I definitely have. I'm definitely seeing the other guests that have been in the booth. And
I'm doing something right if people are paying attention.
Yeah. Know a lot of them. Or seen them on Twitter. It's like you right. already know them. And
like you've never met, but you just, you talk on Twitter.
Yeah. Sports Twitter is definitely different. Yeah. And like you said, like talking about it with our friends, it's...
Fly ball to shallow center. Here comes Hodo, and he races in to make the catch. A 1-2-3 sixth inning for Yaki Rivera. And three Ironbirds pitchers have not allowed a base runner since there was one out in the third. Three flyouts, three quick flyouts, and the inning is over. Birds trying to break this 1-1 tie will go to the bottom of the sixth after another quick break on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Bottom of the sixth inning in the Dean. Ironbirds won, Cyclones won. The Cyclones got their run in the second. The Ironbirds got theirs in the fourth. Nothing else on the board. Right-hander Jonah Tong is back out for the sixth inning. He has 10 strikeouts through five. He's only at 73 pitches right now. So the Cyclones could let him go a little longer. There is bullpen action for the Clones right now, but we'll see what happens. Taron Vavra leads off for the Birds. He doubled his last time up. As he takes a breaking ball high, 1-0. So Vavra's double that hopped over the right field wall with one out in the fourth was the Ironbirds' first hit. It was also their first base runner of the night.
And that's good to see for Vavra because he's been up and down, majors, minors, and injuries and everything, and was able to contribute and put a run on the board. And great base running, as you saw, too.
Yeah, you know, he got to second on the ground rule double, moved up to third on a ground ball out, and then Hodo shot one the other way with two down. Birds manufactured that run. Tong misses high and away, and the count is 2-1. Well, the 10 strikeouts for Tong are not a career high. His career high 11 came in the first outing of the season down in the low-A Florida State League. But the 10 tonight so far, it's a high-A best for him as he gets a swing and a miss, counts 2-2.
It's like there's a couple pitchers up there in the bullpen for Brooklyn.
I mean, right now, although the Ironbirds have tied the game, I think they'd like to see somebody besides Tong, especially when a guy racks up 10 punch-outs.
I mean, that's what we just said before, you know, the last inning was he was able to
fly ball to left center as Morabito ranges over to make the catch.
Keep his composure and everything and still strike guys out and retire them.
Yeah, so he started the game 10 up, 10 down. With five strikeouts one time through the order, now 10 into the third time through the order now, and that brings up Reed Trimble with one out and no one on. Birds trying to break this 1-1 tie.
Yeah, six innings, 78 pitches it looks like for him. It's not bad.
Now we've talked throughout the night about you being a Maryland grad, me being a Penn State grad. What were your favorite sports memories during your time at Maryland, whether that was covering a game or just at a game as a fan?
Actually, I think I had more fun right before I went to Maryland. My older sister went to Maryland, okay. So I would go up there every now and then to go to the football games. So I did love that. When they were in the ACC, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Clemson came up. I went to a couple of those games. That was a ton of fun. They weren't as good as they are now. But it was seeing those games. I mean, when they joined the Big Ten, we knew it was going to be a long, long time before they were able to compete. But
yeah, you haven't seen too many football wins over the years.
No, but you know what? They are able to compete. And I forgot about this game, the Ohio State game. They almost beat Ohio State when I was there when Matt Canada was the interim head coach. And it was just a last-second play. It was supposed to be 2 points, and they didn't get the 2 points, or they would have won the game against Ohio State, who was top 10, I think, at the time. So it still is a dominating team, but That was such a disappointing loss. I was there as a media member, but I remember just, so disappointed.
3-1 pitch to Trimble. Ground ball out to second. Tillian knocks it down, picks it up, throws to first, and recovers in time to get the out. So two up, two down. Trimble is retired. And that brings up Douglas Hodo. Well, I mean, you know, that's always tough. You switch conferences. You go from the ACC to the Big Ten, obviously a better football conference. So Maryland, you know, they're doing their thing. They're getting there.
They are. You know what? They're able to compete. They're not finishing. They're not winning. They can compete against Michigan. They can against Ohio State. They're just not winning the fourth quarter. And they're not winning the games. But, you know, if if they were able to play just the first half, Maryland wins most of those games.
If,
so,
if only you take that first half money line.
But Maryland wins most of those games. So.
So Maryland and my Penn State Nittany Lions have met on the gridiron 47 times in the series history. Do you know how many times Maryland has won?
Stop. I think it's like three, right?
It's three.
Yeah.
Penn State's 44-3-1 all time against Maryland.
Yeah. For now.
Yeah. I mean, only where to go is up. I mean, come on. Three wins in 47 meetings, you can't get any worse.
I mean, if we're going to stick with football right now, Maryland apparently has a really good recruiting class coming in this year. Apparently it's top-notch. We'll see. I just read that today, so.
So what year did you graduate from Maryland?
2015. I stayed for an extra semester, okay. So I think it was technically 2016.
So you were there for that fall of 2016. So you got an extra football season. That's pretty cool.
I did.
That's solid. That's the way to do it.
I'm happy that
that's
I
the way
stayed.
To do it.
I did not want to graduate. Yeah. I love school.
Hodo takes high, counts 2-2. Tied at 1, bottom 6, 2 balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs. So I graduated in May of 2017. So the fall of 16 was the last football season that I had as well.
Okay. Who was the head coach then?
Franklin.
Yes. James okay. Franklin, that's yeah. what I thought. Okay.
2-2 inside. Well, my senior year, I got to see Penn State go to the Big Ten Championship game and the Rose Bowl. So that was fun.
Was that year? Man.
Yeah, 16-17. During the 2017 season, the year after I graduated, Penn State beat Maryland 66-3.
Relax,
you
relax.
That one?
Yeah, I do. Relax. We got blown out a ton.
Payoff pitch inside, ball 4, and Hodo is aboard as the go-ahead run with 2 outs in the bottom of the 6th.
Take the walk.
So that's enough. That's enough Penn State over Maryland talk. I had to get it out though. You're my guest. I can't just be bashing
we
Maryland
know,
all night.
We know what we are. We are not. We're very realistic. Okay, like I said, we win the first half of games.
If only they didn't have to play the second half.
Exactly. One first quarter, second quarter. Most of the time, we're defeating you.
So every opponent, you know, it's that meme. They had us in the first half.
Yep.
And then, second half, different story.
Yeah, and they don't know how to adjust, and they just completely flop, and it's so frustrating.
Move over to first. Hodo's back safely. Well, even though Hodo's only at first and there are two outs, he's a threat to score from first on any hit to the outfield that goes to a gap or down a line. He's got insane wheels. See what Carter Young can do here. Swing and a miss. Big cut at a fastball there, and the count is 0-1. Jonah Tong is still out there, up to 80 pitches now.
Was that his first walk? I think that's what my stats are saying, right?
First walk.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason he's still out there now, because he's just been all around the strike zone. Pitch count was down even with the 10 strikeouts. 0-2 pitch outside. Well, Carter Young has been on a heater lately. 13 RBIs in his last 15 coming in. He had a pair of 4 RBI games in the finale of the last homestand and then the first game of the road trip at Wilmington last week. A couple of home runs in there. Hodo takes off for second, pitches high. Throw down is a good one, but it's late, and Hodo slides in with a stolen base.
Yeah, Hodo was in there very safely and could potentially have gone to third, but played it safe. Good call on him.
The ball kicked away from the shortstop Baez, and yeah, you don't want to run into the third outright. Because a base hit to the outfield, he scores from second or third. I mean, either way.
Two outs, yeah, don't.
For Hodo, that is his 22nd stolen base of the season, and that's just at high A. He did some damage in Delmarva before the call-up. He's only been caught twice. 2 balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs. Go-ahead run at second. Tong looks at second. The pitch to Young, curveball in the dirt, and Pregent keeps it in front.
Good call on Hodo to stay.
I mean, that's a big-time move right there by Hodo to get into scoring position. Runs coming at a premium tonight. You got to try to manufacture them any way you can.
Full count, two outs.
Modest lead out at second for Hodo. Here's the pitch. Young swings and misses. And it's yet another strikeout for Jonah Tong. Give him 11 in the game. And he is through six innings of one-run ball. 11 punch-outs for the young starter for the Cyclones. And after six full innings here in the Dean, we are still knotted at one. So we'll head to the top of the seventh and see if Yaki Rivera can shut it down again. Keep it locked on MILB-TV and Bally Live. Still tied at one, top of the seventh inning here in Aberdeen. Ironbirds and Cyclones in game two of a six-game series. The Birds picked up a 9-2 win in last night's game. And they trailed 1-0 into the fourth inning tonight when they got their first two base runners of the night and manufactured their first and only run. So we're still tied at one as Yaki Rivera comes back out for the seventh. And he's got Mateo Gill, Kellum Clark, and Christian Pregent to deal with. 6-7-8. Swing and a miss on the 0-1, and Gill is down in the count 0-2. Strikeout and a ground out for Gill so far tonight. As Rivera looks to work through another clean inning, a 1-2-3 sixth out of the pen. Cyclones haven't had a base runner since there was one out in the third.
Rivera is able to get ahead of the count pretty early on. We saw that last inning as well. Let's see how Brooklyn responds, though.
Three Ironbirds pitchers have combined to retire 11 Cyclones in a row. Last night, Michael Ferret, who started for the Ironbirds, retired 11 in a row to finish his night. And the Ironbirds overall set down 12 in a row, which was a season high. And that ties it right there. A strikeout for Yaki Rivera as Gill chased out of the zone. 12 in a row set down by three Ironbirds pitchers. And the leadoff man is gone. That brings up Kellum Clark. I mean, both... the pitching on both sides, Gabby, has been excellent tonight. Three Ironbirds, and then just Jonah Tong on the Cyclone side.
I was just thinking that, like, Jonah Tong and the Ironbirds, all three pitchers were, I mean, they're still dominating.
Rivera's just getting the baseball and throwing it.
Yeah.
Not taking a lot of time in between pitches. He's working at a good pace right now. 1-0. Paints the outside corner. It's 1-1. Jackson Baumeister, have to give him a lot of credit for only giving up that one run. He really limited the damage, worked out of a bases-loaded jam in the second to only allow the one. And the run that scored came in on a bases-loaded walk. It's not like this Cyclones team...
wasn't a hit.
Right, it's not like they're stringing
contact.
Those hits
yeah.
together. The Ironbirds, meanwhile, manufactured their run. This one's sent out to deep right center. Long run for Hodo, and he makes the grab on the run in the alley. Douglas Hodo looking like a wide receiver out there in center. And he has shut it down all night for this pitching staff.
I mean, you said it perfectly. He had he really had to pick up speed to make that catch. It looked like it was going to go outside the park there and right into his glove. And also kind of looked like it could have bounced, too. So, great catch.
Two up, two down. Here's a strike to Christian Pregent. Well, Douglas Hodo was a three-year varsity starter in high school. Played wide receiver on his high school football team.
And worked out.
He graduated as his high school's all-time leader in touchdowns, receptions, and receiving yards. So,
wow.
I mean, that's pretty good.
It's worked out, right?
Yeah, I mean,
you
hey,
know, he here he is.
Yeah, I mean, that you definitely see it, the way he glides to the ball in center field.
So you said it perfectly. He definitely looks like a wide receiver out there. Had the look and everything.
Counts 1-2 on Pregent. Rivera's gone 5-up, 5-down out of the pen. And the Birds pitching staff has set down 13 in a row. That's a new season high. Back-to-back nights, the Ironbirds have set down a season high of batters in a row. And that's huge. I mean, to think of what the Cyclones could have done over the first few innings if they had cashed in on those walks and you know, that bases-loaded situation.
Looks kind of scary there for a minute, right?
Right, and you know, 1-1 here in the seventh. 2-2, low and away.
It also looks scary for the Ironbirds on the offensive side because they weren't making any contact at all, and we finally got something a couple innings ago.
I mean, Tong was lights out to start. A lot of credit to this Ironbirds lineup for grinding out that one run. You just feel like there's more to come. 3-2, fouled back. Pregent brought home that only run for the Cyclones with the bases loaded walk. Back behind the dish tonight, did not play in last night's game. All four infielders deep and straight away. 3-2, swing and a miss. Another strikeout for Yaki Rivera. It's his second in a 1-2-3 seventh. And he's retired all six that he's faced tonight. Well, the Ironbirds bullpen has not allowed a base runner, and the pitching staff is doing its thing tonight. We're tied at one here as we go to the seventh inning stretch in Aberdeen. Bottom seven coming up next after this break on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. We've got a pitcher's duel here in Aberdeen as we go to the bottom of the seventh inning. We're tied at one, Ironbirds and Cyclones, trying to get some runs. Both teams a tough go of it tonight offensively. Both pitching staffs getting it done. Three Ironbirds pitchers have combined to set down 14 in a row. The Cyclones haven't had a base runner since the third inning. On the flip side, the Ironbirds got their first run in the fourth, looking for more. Angel Tejada leads off and swings at the first pitch of the bottom of the seventh, skies it up the first base line, and it's into the seats foul. New arm for the Cyclones as Jonah Tong is done after six stellar innings. New arm is right-hander Justin Lawson. So Lawson takes over for Tong, who threw 95 pitches, 64 strikes in six innings. Third baseman De Los Santos up a little bit on Tejada. 0-1, grounded out to second. Tillian stays down on it. Throws to first, one up, one down. So the final line for Tong, just one run on three hits in six innings with a career-high tying 11 strikeouts and only one walk. Well, Gabby, you pointed it out last inning. The walk to Hoto with two down in the sixth, that was his first free pass issued tonight.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw him walk, I questioned it. I was like, that can't be the first walk. Was that the first walk? But we saw a ton of strikeouts. So, yeah, that was the first walk. We saw a couple hits before that.
So here's Maxwell Costas, who swings and shoots one up the middle. Sliding stop by Baez. Gets up, throws to first, and it's on the money to retire Costas. Well, that's twice tonight that Maxwell's been robbed of a hit by Jesus Baez. No love for the Terps tonight.
No love for the Terps tonight at all. It's fine.
That's
it's
usually
not
how it
night.
Goes, though, right?
Yeah, I'm used to it. Like I said before, I'm used to it. Basketball's not great. We lost the national championship in lacrosse. I'm fine.
It's fine.
It's Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Two outs, no one on. Here's Randy Florentino, the catcher. We're still knotted at one, home half of the seventh. Time is out as Florentino took an extra second to step into that batter's box. Lawson, a 23-year-old right-hander, 6 feet, 3 inches tall, fires a strike to Florentino. He's from Louisiana originally, 15th round pick of the Mets in 2023 out of NC State. A little bit of a lefty shift on for Flo. 0-1 outside. Well, Florentino's been swinging a hot bat. He's batting 302. With four extra base hits and three multi-hit games in his last 11. And he's 8 for 23 in his last 6. 1-1 outside. Just feels like the type of night where, you know, the next team to score is going to win this one.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking. But, I mean, the Ironbirds, their pitching has been pretty stellar, even through the bullpen and they've been making contact with Lawson, but nothing on base yet.
Yeah, two quick outs for Lawson. No strikeouts, a couple of ground ball outs, and one could have been a base hit, but Baez shutting it down up the middle at short. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Next pitch to Florentino. Chops one right back to Lawson. Picks it up, underhand flip to first, and the inning is over. So three ground ball outs for Justin Lawson out of the Cyclones bullpen. And after seven full innings here in Aberdeen, we are still tied at one. So we'll head to the top of the eighth. Keep it locked on MILB TV and Bally Live. We move to the top of the eighth inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Michael Mark Cantonini and Gabby DiPaolo with you on the broadcast tonight. Really good one here in the Dean. We're tied at one in game two of a six-game series. Jonah Tong started for the Cyclones. He struck out 11 batters in six innings of one-run ball. On the Ironbirds side of things, three pitchers have combined to allow the Cyclones to score just one time on three hits in seven innings. Ballmeister, Reinhardt, and Rivera shutting it down. And now a new arm out of the pen. It's right-hander Bradley Brimmer to try to shut things down here in the top of the eighth. He gets 9-1-2, Omar De Los Santos, Nick Morabito, and Jesus Baez. Yaki Rivera retired all six he faced after Reinhardt retired all four he faced out of the pen. And now Brimmer's first pitch of the night is a fastball that misses high and tight to Omar De Los Santos, who is 0-for-2 tonight with a strikeout and a ground out. A run on three hits for both squads tonight. Runs coming at a premium. Swing and a miss, and the count's 1-1.
You can still feel the heat. It's still hot. It's Maryland summers.
Yeah. I mean,
it's always hot.
I wonder if that's affecting the guys out on the diamond. It's hot. It's humid. It's just a tough night to, you know, be out there playing a ball game.
With turf, I feel like it like radiates off the field.
You know, we're I'm spoiled up here. Got the AC blasting in the broadcast booth, staying cool.
Still have the window open. Get a little bit of heat.
Well, there's
AC.
There's sometimes it'll as late in the season as August. I remember last year there were a couple times where I was like, "Yeah, it's a little cool today," and then I'm like, "Wait a second, no, it's not."
No,
it's 95 degrees outside, but I'm cold in my broadcast booth because of the AC.
One of my first games this year is at Mount St. Mary's. It's probably the hottest day. It's the end of March, beginning of April. And it was hot. But I was preparing Mount St. Mary's. It's in the mountains out west in western Maryland. So I was preparing it for it to be chilly because it usually is. You usually have wind and a little bit of an overcast. Nope. Sun was beating. Everyone was sweating because the press box was pretty much outside.
3-2 sent out to short. Young's there. Long throw to first. A nice stretch from Costas. And a bang-bang play is out number one here in the eighth. So De Los Santos retired. That's 15 in a row set down by four Ironbirds pitchers. And we go back to the top. Here's Nick Morabito, the left fielder. Still knotted at one, top eight. One out and no one on. Well, I know I told you before tonight's game to bring long sleeves just in case. That's what
you
I tell
did.
All my broadcast guests. Just in case, because you just never know with the AC. I mean, some nights it's at a normal level. Other nights, they're just cranking it.
You know, it's funny because this is the time of the year when ACs usually break.
Yeah.
So I kind of was like, you know what? It might break. Knowing my luck, it could.
Well, if that ever happens here, they're going to need to find a new broadcaster.
The gym I go to, it broke this week. So it was you know what? It could be, this could be the next place. But no, I listened to you. I wore long sleeves.
1-1 pitch from Brimmer. Misses a little bit low. Well, so a couple of my guests, I forgot to tell them that. And one actually had to borrow one of my quarter zips that I had up here because, you know, they were cold. And then another one of my guests.
Can
was
I
like,
ask I who the guest was?
I should have brought long sleeve. My guy Brendan Mortensen.
Brendan?
Yeah.
Borrowed a quarter zip? Nice.
Yeah. He had. You know, sometimes it gets cold up here. Ground ball out to second. And throw over to first in time. Well, that's why I got to have extras up here just in case somebody needs them. So two up, two down for Brimmer.
Who's the other one? You said there's two?
Your guy Ryan Leshko from WBAL.
Ryan, okay.
Well, he didn't borrow, but he was like, I should have brought long sleeves. And I was like, you're right. I should have told you to bring long sleeves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He should be used to it, like working in a studio where it is cold.
Yeah.
The studios at WBAL, that's where he works, are pretty cold. They have to be cold with all the equipment, but, I mean, you're wearing winter gear in there consistently.
Well, I had a feeling tonight, you know, with as hot and humid as it is, I might not need the long sleeves. So, I mean, at this point, eighth inning, I'm still in short sleeves. Normally by the fifth or sixth, I put another layer on. Pitch misses outside to Baez, and the count is 2-0.
Has been a hot week, though. A hot 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Week and a half.
Birds looking for another 1-2-3 inning. 16 batters in a row set down by this pitching staff. It's hard to understate how big that's been since Nick Larusso singled with one out in the third.
Shoot.
Swing and a miss there.
Big swing there.
Well, he tried to untie the game with that swing.
Yeah, he thought he had it. Henry says...
Henry up in the bullpen for the Cyclones. That is not a typo. If you're watching at home, his name is Henry Henry.
I had a question there for a second. 'Cause it was like, am I saying that Henry Henry? I saw that.
Not a typo. His name is Henry Henry.
Well, there's two players. There are two players that were in the majors. I forget their names. I think the Orioles drafted that had something like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember off the top of my head, but.
2-1 pitch coming up to Baez. Here it is. Swinging, he fouls it back, and the count is 2-2. So Brimmer one pitch away from a 1-2-3 inning. 12th round pick of the Orioles back in 2022 out of Indiana. Another Big Ten guy. 2.97 ERA and 18 appearances for Brimmer this season. 45 strikeouts and only 14 walks. He's been fantastic. 33 and a third innings of work coming into tonight's game. Here's his 2-2. Oof. Breaking ball blasted out to deep left field. Valdez gets turned around. It's over his head. It hits off the base of the wall. Valdez picks it up on the warning track, and Baez pulls in with a double. Well, luckily for the Ironbirds, that ball stayed in the ballpark. Valdez did a nice job playing it off the wall, and the Birds hold Baez to a double.
Yeah, you saw him kind of hold up there at the warning track as it did hit the wall. I mean, he really had to put a stop to his run because he was trying to make the catch and kind of saw the wall and figured it was going to hit it. So
the streak is over at 16 batters in a row set down by four Ironbirds pitchers. That is a new season high for the Birds. I mean, that's huge. It's completely changed the game, what this Ironbirds pitching staff has done tonight after trailing 1-0 early, limiting damage early. But right now, the go-ahead run is at second base with two outs in the eighth.
I feel like you kind of jinx them by saying the next hit, the next team that kind of gets hot is going to be the winner.
Well, it's tough as a broadcaster. Another lose-lose situation because I've got to provide context in the info.
Yeah,
but then when it happens, I take the heat. Next pitch, swing and a miss. Counts 0-2 on LaRusso. Went up the ladder for that one and came up empty. But, I mean, look, somebody's got to take the heat.
Yeah.
But then, if I speak something positive into existence, then I get the credit.
Sure.
I'm cool with it.
Lose, win, win, lose, lose situation.
It's all in a day's work in this industry. 0-2, breaking ball off the plate. Brimmer has four pitches to work with, a two-seam fastball, a splitter, a curveball, and a sweeper. He's got a nice mix of pitches right there. He uses it really well. We'll see what he comes with here on 1-2. A look at second. Leg kick in the pitch. Missed high and in. Cyclones grabbed their only run in the second. The Birds got theirs in the fourth. Just seven combined hits in the game. Four for Brooklyn, three for Aberdeen. Another look out at second. Runner takes off for third. Here's the pitch. Low and away. And Baez slides in to third. So now the go-ahead run is 90 feet away over at third. Talk about early slides. He slid about two-thirds of the way there.
Yeah, but he really didn't need to slide. There was no reaction.
He didn't need it. Three balls, two strikes, two outs. Go-ahead run at third base. LaRusso twirls the bat out in front of home plate. Now he's ready to hit. Brimmer set, high leg kick, 3-2, a little bit low, ball four. No harm there. First base was open. And that brings up the cleanup man, Junior Tillian. So Randy Florentino out in front of home plate, flashing the first and third signs to the defense. Ironbirds pitching coach Jordy Henry is out of the dugout to chat with Brimmer. He got the first two outs quickly on ground balls, then a double and a walk. We're tied at one with runners at first and third and two down in the top of the eighth inning. Well, Gabby, the Ironbirds haven't put up a ton of runs for you tonight, so.
I'm low on the totem pole, I know.
That's tough for the runs leaderboard, but you're not going to get shut out. Maybe we'll see a walk-off win. That might bump you up a little bit.
There are certain people that we don't need to tell this to.
We won't.
That we talked about.
And we won't tell them.
We won't tell.
They have to find out on their own.
They do.
I'm sure they will.
I have no doubt I will get a text later either.
Meeting on the mound is over as Jordy Henry jogs back to the Ironbirds dugout. Flo jogs back behind home plate. Biggest spot in the game right now. The Cyclones have two on with two outs. It's the first time they've had multiple runners on in an inning since the second.
I mean, you really kind of want a grounder here, something easy to get the quick out maybe at second or first.
Yeah, you got the force out at second now with the runner at first. Counts 0-1 after Brimmer got that one over to Tillian. Tall right-hander set again, 0-1. Ground ball up the middle. The shortstop, Young, has it. Flips to second, and the inning is over. Well, there you go. Spoken into existence by my guest in the booth. So a force out at second, 6-4 on the fielder's choice, and Bradley Brimmer works himself out of a jam. Still tied at one, going to the bottom of the eighth. See if the Birds can get the lead for the first time tonight and then close it out in the ninth. We'll head to the bottom of the eighth after this on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. Bottom of the eighth inning in Aberdeen as the Ironbirds look for some runs. The score is tied at one in the home half of the eighth inning. Birds looking to gain their first lead of the night and then try to close it out in the top of the ninth. Here's Creed Willems, who swings and misses at the first pitch from the new arm, Henry Henry, for the Cyclones. Willems pinch hitting for Christian Benavides in the nine hole. So the Ironbirds will have to shuffle some things around. In the top of the ninth inning, Benavides started at second. Willems, of course, does not play second base. So we'll see what the Ironbirds decide to do defensively in the infield. So Willems pinch hitting for Benavides, then back to the top for Valdez and Vavra against right-hander Henry Henry. 0-1, Willems takes low. So nice they named him twice. So, you know, you're never going to forget this guy's name. His first name's the same as his last name.
Yeah.
So Henry's next pitch to Willems, swing and a miss. Count is 1-2. So new arm, new bat at the dish as both teams fight for a win here in game two of this six-game series. Justin Lawson worked a scoreless seventh. 1-2-3 inning with three ground ball outs. And now Henry Henry, the third pitcher of the night for the Cyclones. And he picks up a strikeout here as Willems swings and misses at a breaking ball. And it's one up, one down for Henry. Back to the top of the order for Luis Valdez, who's 0-for-3 with three strikeouts tonight.
Yeah, he would like to see base right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy that you want on base because he can turn a walk or a single into an extra base hit, essentially.
Mm-hmm. He's got the speed.
The bag. Yeah. Oof. Swing and a miss up top. Well, here's a guy who, you know, if they can just get him on in this situation, I imagine he's going on the next pitch. You get him in scoring position, changes the entire game. 0-1, which misses a little bit off the plate. Henry's 25 years old from San Cristobal in the Dominican Republic. Started his pro career back in 2016 in the Padres organization. So far this season, he's pitched with the low A St. Lucie Mets, and now up to high A with the Brooklyn Cyclones. This is his third appearance overall, second with the Clones. 2-1. Fought off the hands out to left. Morabito a couple steps back. That ball carried to the track, but Valdez is retired for out number two.
Yeah, kind of sliced it a little bit.
Well, I mentioned during the last half inning, could see an Ironbirds walk-off tonight. That is definitely in play.
Speaking it into existence or
really
jinxing them, whatever you want to feel.
I think it's more speaking it into existence. I think at this point in the game, I don't know, I feel it. I've got a vibe tonight. Feeling that vibe. Now, I mean, if they want to take care of business in the bottom of the eighth, shut it down in the top of the ninth, you know, that'll work too.
Taryn Favre, I should say, looking to get things going.
Two outs and no one on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it comes down to right now is who can get it going. You know, one guy on base and, you know, then you can manufacture that run. How about a little two-out rally right here? Henry comes set on the mound. And the 1-1 pitch. Vavra skies one to left center field. De Los Santos ranges over in the gap, and he tracks it down shy of the warning track. Makes the grab, inning over. So a 1-2-3 inning for Henry here in the bottom of the eighth. And after eight full, we are still tied at one. We'll head to the top of the ninth. It'll be a last at-bat win for one of these teams tonight. We'll see which one. Top nine next on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Ironbirds and Cyclones tied at one. Top of the ninth inning here in Aberdeen. Michael Mark Cantonini and Gabby DePaula with you on the broadcast tonight. Birds went down 1-2-3 in the home half of the eighth as Bradley Brimmer gets back on the mound to start the ninth. A scoreless eighth inning. Had the first two out in order, and then it was first and third with two down when a fielder's choice ended it. Brimmer got a ground ball to get out of it, and now he gets Jeffrey De Los Santos leading off the top of the ninth inning. Third baseman Costas is in a little bit. So as Creed Willems pinch hit for Christian Benavides in the bottom of the eighth, I said the Ironbirds have to shuffle some things around defensively. So Costas moves from first to third. Angel Tejada moves from third to second, and Creed Willems is in the game at first base. So some changes in the infield for the Birds as Brimmer misses there, or gets one over. A count is 2-1 to De Los Santos. Next pitch popped up foul to the left side of the diamond into the seats. Well, the flow of this game has not allowed for a lot of back-and-forth conversation, but one question that I really want to get out to you, Gabby.
Okay.
Who are some of your biggest influences in your sports media career? Because it's not easy what we do in pursuing a path in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
Who are some of the people that have influenced you the most in a positive way?
Laura Oakman, she is like one of the longest tenured sideline reporters for Fox. She's definitely pushed me beyond what I could do, and I love it. Like, she's given me the confidence to just throw myself out there. She's one of them. I love Ian Eagle. He helped me in the beginning when I started calling games, gave me a ton of pointers and everything. He was great. A lot of people around here too have been super supportive. Lauren Sizzler, she's the ESPN sideline reporter.
There's a fly ball to deep center, a couple steps back for Hodo. He makes the catch, so two quick outs, a strikeout and a fly out. And Brimmer one out away from sending this to the home half of the ninth. Well, I think it's cool you mentioned, just in the Baltimore area, I think it's cool how many people are willing to help.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really tight-knit community in the Baltimore sports media landscape.
They all get it, you know, and either way, you're probably going to see them one time or another. Like, you went up to Camden Yards and you saw some of the people that you broadcasted with here, and just so small. There's opportunities here, you know, once you get to know people and make the connections, you're able to, move your career up a little bit.
Breaking ball in for a strike to the right fielder, Kellum Clark. Counts 1-1. Two down, no one on, top of the ninth. We're tied at one. Next pitch from Brimmer, swing and a miss. Nasty breaking ball down in the zone. Might have been the splitter right there. And Brimmer looking for a 1-2-3 frame. And now Clark steps out.
Yeah, 1-2. Looking for a big hit here, just to get on base.
1-2 pitch. Ooh, everybody in the field for the Ironbirds thought that was strike three, but it's called a ball. Florentino was halfway to the dugout. We'll have to see where that one showed up on the pitch tracker on the game cast, but that one looked good. Mm-hmm. Had Clark absolutely frozen.
Yeah.
Borderline, looked a little bit outside.
Yeah, it was outside.
2-2 pitch now, swing and a miss. Well, this time he gets him. That's a big punch out for Bradley Brimmer. Two strikeouts in a 1-2-3 top of the ninth. And we'll go to the home half of the ninth. Birds need one to walk it off. They've done it three times so far this year. Can they add a fourth walk-off win? We'll go there next. We're tied at one. Stay locked in on MILB-TV and Bally Live. Ironbirds and Cyclones tied at one. Bottom of the ninth inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. The Ironbirds have a chance to walk it off for the fourth time this season. The last time they walked it off was June 13th against the Hickory Crawdads. An 8-6 win in 10 innings when Creed Willems hit a walk-off two-run homer. Well, Willems not due up this inning. He hit in the last inning, but the Birds will send up Reed Trimble, Douglas Hodo, and Carter Young against right-hander Henry Henry for the Cyclones. Trimble takes outside. And the count's 1-0. He's 0-3 tonight, but Trimble is one of the hottest hitters in the league. All right, Gabby, do you have the walk-off clutch gene in you tonight?
You know what? I don't think I'm feeling it tonight.
That's okay,
but be realistic.
I am. I'm feeling it. Don't worry about what she said.
But you're going to get blamed for jinxing it, so that's fine.
Birds need one to win it. We're tied at one. The Birds got their only run in the fourth. The Cyclones haven't scored since the second. 1-1, Trimble takes Lone away. Starts with a leadoff man. If the Birds can get Trimble on right here, here's a guy who's a threat to run, get in scoring position. But the way he's swinging the bat, maybe he gets himself in scoring position. 6 extra base hits in his last 7, including 2 triples last night. 2-1, fouls it back to the netting. And he looks like he's on it from Henry Henry. I mean, I think this game has to end in a walk-off win. It's your first time back at the ballpark in over 10 years. That's how we got to finish this thing off.
Then I would be very, very lucky analyst, right? Luckier than the other person we talked about.
Would probably have to bring you back if they walk this off.
Probably.
Trimble just took that last pitch inside, so the count is full.
Kind of looked like it touched him, but guess not, since he's not walking.
I don't know how he got out of the way of it. Count's full on Trimble. Switch hitter batting from the left side, looking for his first hit of the night. Henry pauses the next pitch. 3-2, downstairs, ball 4. Trimble flips his bat, takes off the elbow guard, and he'll head down to first base as the winning run here in the bottom of the ninth.
Good start to the inning, get a walk. I was kind of feeling a walk there.
Yeah, just 2 walks tonight for this Cyclones pitching staff. Tong walked 1, and it wasn't until the 6th inning that he issued a free pass, and Henry just issued his first walk. Birds and Clones tied at 1, winning run at first. Here's Douglas Hodo. Takes outside, and the count is 1-0. Hodo singled home the only run for the Ironbirds back in the 4th, and that came with 2 outs. Hodo had a big night last night, reached safely 4 times, a double, 2 walks, and a hit-by-pitch. He scored 5 runs. Move over to first. The Ironbirds scored 9. Hodo had 5 of them. Every time he was on base, he scored.
I mean, Hodo's been dominant on defense tonight, and it's definitely contributed on offense.
Shows bunt, pulls back, takes outside, it's 2-0, and that bunt attempt might have just been to throw off Henry on the mound. But yeah, that's a great point. I mean, he saved multiple runs tonight with his defense in center field, running down 1 to right center, a couple to left center, 1 to straightaway center.
Yeah.
2-0 pitch. Here it is. Fastball down the chute. It's 2-1 on Hodo. And I think that's worth pointing out. You know, this game is not tied in the bottom of the ninth right now without Douglas Hodo's contributions in center.
Thank God for his football career in high school, right?
Yeah, looking like a wide receiver out there. 2-1, half-hearted check swing. He went way too far around, and that is strike 2. Well, the story of the game is the pitching on both sides. Jackson Baumeister was on the ropes early, but he worked out of a jam, and the 3 relievers behind him have shut it down as well. Jonah Tong, electric, 11 strikeouts and 6 for the Cyclones. Trimble takes off for second, pitch misses high, and there's no throw down to second as Pregent, the catcher, fumbled that one, taking it out of the glove. It's a stolen base for Reed Trimble, and now the winning run's at second.
Good call there by Trimble.
Yeah, I think he ran on a pitch where Henry might not have been expecting him to go.
Kind of looked like he was going to go to third. I mean, the ball went past the catcher there, so
Trimble now 11 for 11 in stolen base attempts this year. Base hit to the outfield should win it. Here's Carter Young with 1 down. We're tied at 1 in the home ninth. Pitch to Young is in for a strike.
Yeah, that just looks so inside, though. Let's see what it comes up in the stats. From up here, it looks like it, and on the screen as well.
Henry, a look at second. And out of the plate, Young swings and skies one to left, straight away for Morabito. A couple steps back, still going back. He makes the grab on the track. Trimble tags and heads for third, and he's there without a throw. So a productive out right there. And with 2 down, that brings up Angel Tejada.
Two outs now. Good call by Trimble there, but is it going a little farther? No, we didn't see a lot of foul balls today. We only saw
a
couple.
Yeah.
A lot of them were in play.
So here's the young Angel Tejada, who's riding a 4-game hitting streak, doubled earlier tonight to keep that streak going. He has a chance to send the Birds home winners. Trimble at third. He's the winning run. Two down, bottom of the ninth. We're tied at one. Tejada in the righty batter's box. The 1-0, swing and a miss. Chased a breaking ball outside.
Trying to make something happen there, looks like, for Tejada. This is where you can kind of struggle because you want to obviously get Trimble home, win the game, but you also need patience at the plate.
1-1, fly ball down the left field line, and that ball is not coming back. Fire me up, Angel Tejada. A walk-off two-run home run in the bottom of the ninth, and the Birds win it 3-1. That ball was absolutely crushed. A no-doubt-about-it shot off the bat. He sent it over the clubhouse in deep left field, and on one swing, the Iron Birds win it. Just his second game at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium, and Tejada gets the ice bath at home plate. It's the Birds' fourth walk-off win of the season, and they've taken each of the first two games of this series with the Cyclones.
Nick Morabito there in left field just watched it as it went right over his head. He knew. He didn't even try to run. He knew. That ball was gone.
Yeah, that's one where you just turn and watch it fly. I mean, that ball was absolutely crushed. A walk-off two-run home run for Angel Tejada in the bottom of the ninth. Well, Gabby, I was right. I spoke into existence. The walk-off win for the Birds. What a way to end it here in the Dean.
You called it. I mean, I denied it. I might have jinxed it, or maybe you just spoke into existence. But it worked. Iron Birds win 3-1.
A 3-1 win for the Birds, their fourth walk-off win of the season. Well, Reed Trimble got himself to third base with two outs in the bottom of the ninth after working a leadoff walk. And once he got to third, I'm thinking, like, all right, you know, wild pitch, error, something, that, you know, anything to get that runner home from third to win it. And then with two strikes on him, Angel Tejada blasted one to deep left field for the walk-off home run. Tejada had one home run so far this season. He picked a great time for his second.
Absolutely, right? Like you said, he had two strikes on him, two outs. Trimble was there at third. Morabito watching the ball just sky high go into the bullpen. Great ending. You called it.
Well, I think as soon as that ball was hit, everybody in the ballpark just kind of froze.
They knew. I started laughing. Yeah.
I'm not saying that I wasn't, I didn't think Tejada could go deep there, but, he's not a home run hitter, and all of a sudden he just got a pitch in the middle of the zone and crushed it.
Yeah, he saw his pitch, right, and at the right time, and he knew, and everyone else knew it was gone. People were already walking off the field.
So a 3-1 win for the Ironbirds. There's a lot to unpack because this one had a lot of action. Even though it was only a 3-1 win for the Birds and there were only eight combined hits in the game, Gabby, there was a lot of action. I mean, both pitching staffs were excellent tonight. And, I think defensively both teams really shut it down. But overall, what are some of your takeaways from this walk-off win?
Well, like you said, like the pitching on both sides of the ball, it was really interesting. They both kept it interesting and close. And then, like we said a couple moments ago, we didn't see a lot of foul balls. A lot of balls were hit in play. So we did see a lot of, hit to left field, hit to right field and whatever, but a lot of contact was made, which is good. A lot of foul balls and not a ton of foul balls were made. So, I mean, close game, and that's all to the defense. Center fielder, like we said, Hodo, I mean, he had a great game both on the offense and defense.
Right, and I think, that's a great point. We didn't see a lot of both teams fighting off pitches because both pitching staffs were just shutting it down. So there was a lot of swing and miss instead of, foul balls to keep at-bats alive. And, we had a quick pace of the game. Both starters looked good. Of course, Tong went a lot deeper. But, it comes down to, timely hitting for the Ironbirds.
Yeah, and it looks like the Ironbirds, with Tong, like, once he saw Tong again, they were able to make contact because it took them a while to really start get the game going. We saw a walk by them, too. I mean, they started to get patient, which really helped them. And then, they had to keep up with the defense as well because we saw a lot of fly balls. So, great game on offense and defense and keeping it close. Those are the games that you want to see. I mean, the pitching on both sides, I can't get over it. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, really well-played game. I'm still just kind of, in shock from what just happened because baseball is a game where things can change so fast. Tejada with two outs coming up, swung and missed at a pitch out of the zone, the pitch prior, and then all of a sudden he drills the two-run walk-off homer. So, I mean, and like I said, it just looked like everybody in the ballpark froze when it was hit because we're like, did he really just hit that ball like 450 feet over the clubhouse to win it?
Right. And you know, it's always like it's a middle-of-the-lineup guy, right? Once we saw Vavra, who had it looked like his could have been a home run, too, there in the eighth, I was like, you know, we're going to hit the middle of the lineup. This game might be tighter. You know, then we had Tejada in the middle of the lineup, and he's able to soar it sky high and get Tremble home and two-run home run.
So we'll get you some final totals in this one, but first, it's worth mentioning that the Birds are on a four-game winning streak now. They are now 4-1 in the second half of play, and they are flying high early on in the second half, playing some of their best baseball of the season right now. So a couple of things before we give you the final totals. Jonah Tong was excellent for the Cyclones tonight. Six innings of one-run ball, tied a career high with 11 strikeouts. On the flip side, his counterpart, Jackson Baumeister, lasted just 3 2/3, but he only gave up the one run, worked around three walks in the second, and struck out six. So he did a great job limiting the damage. The relievers behind him, Logan Reinhart, Yaki Rivera, and Bradley Brimmer, combined for shutout baseball the rest of the way. At one point, the Ironbirds pitching staff retired 16 batters in a row. All four pitchers tonight for the Birds contributed to that run, and that is a big reason why the Ironbirds took the win home tonight. Only eight combined hits in the game tonight, but some timely hitting from the Ironbirds got it done. So we'll give you the final totals now with the win. The Ironbirds improved to 38-33 overall, and they are now 4-1 in the second half. On the flip side, the Cyclones dropped to 34-37. They are 1-4 in the second half. For Aberdeen, three runs on four hits, no errors. For Brooklyn, one run on four hits and one error. The win goes to Bradley Brimmer. He moves to 2-3. The loss goes to Henry Henry. He drops to 0-1. No save. Game was played in 2 hours and 21 minutes in front of 1,152 fans here at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Well, Gabby, only three runs on the guest in the booth leaderboard for you tonight, but a walk-off win moves you up. That's the second guest with a walk-off win this year.
And that's what you said. You said it. You said if it's a walk-off, you know, you kind of go up on the leaderboard, and I mean, that was a walk-off. You did call it. I was the one who denied it. I wasn't feeling it. I was not feeling it.
But like I said, it had to happen that way. Your first trip back to Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium in a long time.
Full circle. Yeah. Complete full circle, right.
Now, before we sign off on air tonight, well, Gabby, one, I appreciate you joining me, but two,
how
was the experience on your end? I always ask my guests that when they get to join me here.
Like we've said, like I love the field here. I love the stadium. It's very clean. It seems so very new. You did a great job. It was a great game. I loved seeing the pitching and offense, and it just was great to see the development of the Ironbirds. And I mean, I was thinking today, I'm really excited to see where some of these pitchers and even hitters go and how they move up through the farm system.
Yeah, I think that's one of the coolest parts about minor league baseball is we get to see these guys when they're so young, when they're just starting out, and then, you know, a few years from now, looking at them in the big leagues. I mean, there are guys who are going to contribute to the next Orioles World Series championship team.
We could be watching that, yeah,
right,
absolutely.
Now in the minors.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's cool to think about that.
I am excited to see pitching after seeing the Orioles kind of struggle through pitching right now, so that is exciting.
One more for you to wrap up, Gabby. What's next for you in your career? I know you know you're with CBS Sports full-time doing a lot of social media stuff, but you're also doing the freelance broadcast stuff. I know, you know, like most of us in this industry, it's just go, go, go. You don't stop moving. So what's next for you?
You know what? I'm going to see what football season kind of brings. I do some play-by-play for football and color commentating for McDaniel. We'll see how that goes. Probably some colleges around here. Maybe some soccer coming up. So some college sports. I got to put some feelers out again and go from there.
Yeah, feeler never hurt. And, you know, that's kind of what we live by in
right.
this industry. So Gabby DePaula from CBS Sports joining me in the broadcast booth tonight. She brought some good luck, a walk-off winner for the Bel Air and Harford County native. Well, Gabby, thanks so much for joining me on
thank
the
you.
Broadcast tonight. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you.
For my outstanding production crew here in Aberdeen and my broadcast partner, Gabby DePaula, my name is Michael Mark Cantanini. Thanks for flying with me tonight, Ironbirds fans. It was a fun one, and the Birds are flying high after their fourth walk-off win of the season. A 3-1 win in 9 thanks to Angel Tejada's two-out walk-off home run in the bottom of the 9th inning. We'll see if the Birds can extend the winning streak to 5 tomorrow. I'll be on air for the air show at 6:40, and then first pitch at 7:05. Got another fun guest in the booth tomorrow. We'll tell you who that is tomorrow. And as always, Ironbirds fans, keep it locked here on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Go Birds. Have a